If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
That feels good. Oh, I like that. Oh, man, that's good. Oh, that's really good. Yeah. No. Don't do that. Oh, yes.
Hollywood, can you handle this?
Can anyone smell that?
Ralph the host, I was thinking, like, this guy's a little bit of a tool at first.
He's funny, you know. Not funny, ha-ha. Funny, quick. He likes to go with men instead of women.
Of course not. What an idiotic question. And extremely insulting to me and to my husband. Of course not. And it's silly.
It was Jed the Fish with Trent Reznor. What if your name was Asshore?
If it was Asshore.
Very well, then. The Falcon has spoken.
That's a good point. Oh, wait. No. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard.
It's also a, what was I just going to say? It just went away.
By the powers vested in me, by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Marijuana is bad, okay?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Oh, yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Roll another one. Just like the other.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
Are there other black nerds, or is it just you and Urkel?
Roll.
Exactly how much pot did you smoke?
Just like the other one.
Marijuana's bad.
Good. This one seems to be about to end. I don't have another cent.
Those people that say that marijuana is a gateway drug, we say, yeah, gateway to good times.
Just pass it around.
God damn it, I love pot.
And now,
marijuana, you are my best friend. You get me so high when I smoke my bong all day long. Yeah, baby.
Our feature presentation.
I drive like an agent.
Slanted eyes, eating dog with slanted eyes.
I drive like an agent.
Slanted eyes, eating dog with slanted eyes.
I drive like an agent.
How is that?
All right, enough. I find this whole conversation to be extremely offensive.
Already? Haven't we learned anything this week? Come on, you guys. What's going on down there?
God damn that guy, Ashton Kutcher.
We have learned a lot, actually.
And what have we learned?
And it makes us happy to play that, to be honest.
We've got a longer stick.
We've learned
to poke.
That.
That's what she said.
I'm sorry I did that. I'm embarrassed that I did that. I did a bad thing.
We should have that standing by a lot today, I guess.
Yeah, sure.
Just in case.
I found out just through reading email that most of our listeners enjoy the offensive material. That's what I found out.
It makes think that's why they listen to us?
Yes.
As it turns out?
Yes.
Yeah.
Who knew?
We did have a – for folks who did not listen yesterday and don't know what all the hoopla is about, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it today, but the man came down on our neck basically about something that one listener had complained about, and it was frustrating for us. We talked yesterday and had people calling in about things that are offensive to them, and I think we had some reasonable conversations with intelligent listeners, and I think we both had our say and respected the other's opinion. It was fine. But the email response was so phenomenally, overwhelmingly positive for the people who like that kind of material. And the one thing I learned is that, man, do people hate Seacrest. Wow, is Seacrest a beacon in the night sky as something you should stay as far away from as possible with our listeners?
He is. He like represents a whole type of person that no one wants to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I learned from reading a lot of those emails is a lot of our listeners are really funny.
Yeah. Oh no.
Oh, sure.
There was
funnier
a lot
than
of
us,
on,
as it turns out.
Way funnier than us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But that's the one thing, though, is well, first of all, two things. One is everybody hates Ryan Seacrest. We thought we knew that, but now it really has been cemented for all time. And the second one is more laughter, less Hitler, I think, is also something else.
That's true. That is a good slogan. And our other new slogan is "Let the offending continue."
Well, I think it bears mentioning that hasn't happened in a while, but yesterday we did end up in the general manager's office, which is not ever good. There's no circumstances under which that's a positive, as if we're sitting in somebody's a suit's office at 11 a.m.
Here's how rare it is. We couldn't find it.
We couldn't find the office. That's true.
We didn't know where it was. We had to get directions.
We were walking the hall. Yeah, you're right. You know, it was so stupid. When you say, go get me something to beat you with, we were just like, where is the – but it used to be
down there?
Did we go – and then you take
two
a left?
Doors? Okay.
For people who are not in radio, to make them understand, give you a point of reference, there's no good reason for on-air talent to go see the manager of a station.
No, ever.
It's like the assistant principal at your high school. If you're going to go see the principal, it was a 50-50 chance. There might be something good. You could be getting some award, or he's going to give you a day off because a family member died or something. If you're going to see the assistant principal, all that means is that it's bad news. Because the general manager, all he does is run day-to-day operations here at the station. Therefore, if you're going to see talent...
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of interaction with him,
right.
Thus
no.
Wandering the hallways endlessly trying to find him. But
we almost wandered out the door to the parking lot, darn it.
That was my plan. You guys are all weak. I'd just like to say that.
We should have boycotted the meeting.
You're weak. Ralph, you're weak. Lisa, you're weak. I was the only
you really
one.
Were.
I was in the office going, I'm serious. Let's run. That was my advice. Let's go out the back and just run. That always works.
You're right. It is certainly braver to run from controversy. I can't argue with that.
No, but
rather than defend yourself, you're right. It is more manly to leave.
Right, but my whole complaint was
it was a pointless meeting.
You could fill in both sides of the conversation. We didn't need to have it.
Yeah. I like the cardboard cutout idea. That was good.
Well, you're all weak.
Well, we'll keep you posted, but next week apparently conference call with even the bigger bosses at headquarters.
Yeah.
At Dr. Evil's headquarters. Rex is going to talk to them apparently on Tuesday, so we'll see how that goes. By the way, we
made Lisa come this time. She usually doesn't have to come to the meetings, but this time we made her come.
Yeah.
Because...
No, I'm glad I was there. Well, I want to represent a united front.
Yeah.
I'm a part of
it. But it's
this.
Not fair that our ass is always bleeding and you just laugh at us, though. Every once in a while, you got to take
what
the brunt.
How bad was it?
And you could see a little, you know, it was a little testy.
Yeah.
It wasn't great. By the way, it took me a long time to realize this, and I don't know why management doesn't know this, but sometimes it's better to just put a little time between you and talking. That's what I finally learned after all this time, that when I'm that angry, there's nothing that's going to be accomplished.
Right.
Take a beat, you know, breathe. Maybe a day or two later, you can have a conversation. But no, that's what happened yesterday. So, sometimes
that's an accurate distillation of the conversation. That's pretty darn close.
Oh dear God! All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Okay.
It's sorry, Bean. It's Friday, the 31st of.
Hey, quick programming question note.
Yes.
Anyone remember what next month is?
It's just Sextember.
Is it just Sextember?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
I think so.
What's the sound effect?
I don't know.
We forget year to year what we're supposed to be doing.
Well, there are 12 of them. That's a lot for our little heads.
That's true.
I know. Okay. Well, I'll find something over the weekend.
That's it. Right?
I hope that's
Come
not it.
Come on. What is wrong
no,
with you?
No, that's not it.
Rob Zombie is on the show today. We're going to talk to him just after 6, about a half hour from now.
It's the Halloween season, Kevin.
It's the Halloween season, which is odd because it's the end of August, but in 2 months.
Look, those 2 months go fast. He's smart.
They do. hey, if this movie is good, there's no reason why it won't still be playing for Halloween.
Yep.
He remade Halloween and it opens today. Yep. So we're going to talk to him about that this morning. Celebrity rap superstar.
Oh, I wish I could have seen that last night.
I taped it. I didn't get a chance to watch it either. But Dave wrote an email after watching it and said he hasn't laughed that hard in a long time.
No kidding. Yeah. Oh, I'm excited.
So, these are non-rappers who are asked to rap on camera. That's what the show's about?
I believe so. LaQuisha will catch us all up today.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Also, how to win the Mega Millions. I don't know if you've been paying attention, but what was the lottery that somebody just won?
Powerball.
Okay. So that that was like 300 and some million. Now it's up to about 325 million for the Mega Millions. And what cracks us up is that people have their way of picking the numbers. And most of them have never won, but they stick with that system.
Yep.
Based on who knows what.
No, the reason the lottery is so successful is because someone does win eventually, and it's very attractive to think that your dollar could turn into $350 million, but it is fascinating the psychology that goes around that. I mean, how do you decide whether to buy one ticket or 10 or 100 or some people 1,000? I mean, the odds are virtually identical between having one ticket and having 100 tickets, for instance. A lot of decisions go into making the purchase. And which numbers do you choose? Is it better to go random? Is it better to pick your kids' birthdays? I mean, everybody has a theory.
No one wins. I mean, you know, one person out of billions.
Out of a nation, right.
Yeah. Also on today's show, we have Seth Green in the studio. Love him.
Yes.
Always love having him in. He's got the DVD release of Robot Chicken. We have the movie beat today because it's Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Pete Carroll, the head coach of the USC Trojans.
How about that?
Are favored by 46 points over the Idaho Vandals this weekend.
That's a nice way to start your season.
46
points. If you win.
Yeah, if you win. Exactly.
I don't know how that doesn't screw with your head, but we'll talk to him. He's pretty much painted himself into a box. It's national championship or failure. That's what USC has on their shoulders.
Yeah,
you can be too good. That's for sure.
Yeah. All of a sudden, the expectations are ridiculous, and that's the way it is now.
We're going to tell Pete to pull back the reins a little bit. We're going to tell him to just kind of get lax for the next couple of seasons, because if you win it like once every 5 years, people are ecstatic. They're thrilled. Most teams never win a national championship.
Right.
You start winning 3 out of 4, all of a sudden, you're right. No good can come of that. You're just setting yourself up to be a disappointment.
Should we go to the national championship game? Nah, they won 3 out of the last 4. Let's just stay home.
All of a sudden, too much trouble.
Not so exciting. Also on today's show, we have the K-Rock LA Invasion tickets.
Yes.
Fantastic. Looking forward to that. We have Maureen McCormick, who's in a new movie called, I think it's Right at My Front Door or something like that.
Right at Your Door.
Right at Your Door. Thank you. I'm the one that watched it. I don't know the title. It's a great movie.
Is it?
Yes.
I don't even know anything about it.
It's what would happen if a dirty bomb went off in Los Angeles.
Oh.
You called Jack Bauer. That's what would happen.
Yeah, exactly. But this...
This is a personal story. That's the difference between this one. It's the micro rather than the macro about this family and what their reaction is and what the fallout is, no pun intended, for them.
This guy's at home and his wife goes to work downtown. So she's down where it happened. He can't get a hold of her. The phones, blah, blah, blah. So it's a really well-done movie. I hadn't even heard of it before I watched it, but it's fantastic. So we're going to talk.
And I love her so, by the way.
Yeah, she's okay. Yeah. She's all right. Yeah. She's easy on
the ice. Good in everything.
5:43, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph's Showbiz Beat. Incubus on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7
What is going on? What's happening?
What's going on is exactly what happened when I came into the studio this morning, which was there's no headphones.
Yeah.
So I was looking at Psycho Mike going, yeah, you know, can't hear.
Need those.
Is that necessary?
This was 20 minutes ago. So just now, Ralph came walking in, no headphones, looks at Mike with his hands up in the air like, how am I supposed to do this?
I'm happy to see that my personal motto of just stop caring has filtered down through the on-air staff down to our support squad. Everyone really has just given up the will to live here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and it makes me happy.
Listen or don't. You know, you don't need headphones. You can just talk.
Yeah, well, I only want to hear Bean.
That's true.
Which is, maybe it's a blessing
in disguise. You should take them off.
That's true.
Hey, hey.
What the?
It's 5:51 on the Kevin and Bean Show, Labor Day Friday. Don't forget, we got more tickets for the K-Rock LA Invasion coming up. If you like the Foo Fighters and Smashing Pumpkins, Velvet Revolver, Kid Rock, Chris Cornell, all those good people, we'll give you a chance to win those tickets on the way. And Rob Zombie after the top of the hour. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Morning, Ralph.
Is it Labor Day Friday?
It is.
That's a phrase that has never been said before.
That sounded
Sure it has.
That sounded okay to me.
Labor Day Friday?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Easter Monday. I mean, it's the day that's associated with the holiday weekend.
It's Getaway Friday, too.
Well, that's just... That's
oh, sure. Well,
I know a lot of the stores are having their Labor Day Friday sales right now. So.
Well, they have a whole Labor Day weekend, but it's Labor Day Friday today. Tomorrow's Labor Day Saturday, then Labor Day Sunday, then Labor Day Monday.
It's Labor Day weekend Eve.
By the way, all the news today are going to be doing the getaway story.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
They're
sure.
all going to be at LAX. And
you know, you
get
can't
on the
get
roads early.
To, yeah. You can't get away to Mexico today because the borders are actually being blocked by a protest.
What?
Really?
In San Diego.
Who's protesting, us or them?
Actually, it's interesting. It's Mexican teachers protesting some new pension plan in Mexico, but they're blocking our borders.
Well, get the hell out of our way.
I know.
What?
It's a Mexican issue.
Well, the Mexicans don't care about when people protest there. That's right. My theory, so they protest here.
But we don't have any power over that, right?
Okay. Nope.
Don't they know it's Labor Day Friday?
Yes, they do. That's exactly Look, what they do.
Nutty Mexicans.
They can protest the crap out of the I-5 today, but we can't give their teachers a raise. They don't work for us.
Let's do it. Let's give them a raise.
Okay.
Move them
Six
out of the
more
way.
Pesos per teacher. That's what I vow if I'm elected. See, happen to catch a Hillary Clinton on Letterman last night?
No.
Very, very...
Is she funny?
Relaxed, charming, and funny. The first time I've ever seen her, I said, she's sort of likable.
You know,
I think she did herself a world of good by being on that show last night.
Wow.
I have a friend who was able to go to a very small dinner, like 8 people in Hillary Clinton, and she couldn't get over how, as you said, friendly, warm, relaxed, well, nice.
Because when she's behind the podium, she comes off as just a tightly wound drum,
yes,
you know?
Absolutely.
But I was surprised at how... congenial she was.
Was your friend a female?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she was a Republican.
Doesn't matter.
You hear that a lot about politicians is they do stiff up when they're on a podium. I've heard that about George Bush, for instance, that in person, he's a great guy to go to a barbecue with, hang out with, funny guy, nice guy.
What do they do in your country?
What do they do?
They stiff up.
That's what she said.
Well, it's not. It doesn't,
if you got to go back and ask me that,
come
work.
On. I know.
Yeah. She had a top 10 list of her own she brought on, which I thought was very funny. Campaign promises that she will fulfill if she becomes president. And number 5, I believe, was start a federal commission to look into what the hell's happening on Lost. We'll pull that out. We'll play it for you maybe an hour. I'll give you the highlights of her top 10 list. Meanwhile, it looks like Lindsay Lohan's becoming a softie in rehab. According to the New York Post, she's going to let her father, Michael, come visit her while she's in treatment at the Cirque Lodge.
Which means she's still in rehab.
Yes, apparently she still is in rehab, and that DJ... who I told you in a story yesterday, claimed he was partying with her on Saturday, is apparently misinformed.
Liar.
DJ Omar Khan.
That's right. Of course, there is a restraining order against Michael to get near Lindsay, so she's going to have to get hold of her attorneys to lift that so he can come and see her. Apparently, the whole process was kicked off by her little brother, Michael Jr., who thinks it'll be a good part of the healing process for all involved if they would just get together and have a hug and start mending fences in that family, yeah, which seems like that family could use some of.
Yeah.
Speaking of families, the Amy Winehouse circus continues. You know, Amy's pulled out of the MTV Video Music Awards in Las Vegas next week. And she's also canceled all her U.S. appearances, all her tours. But she is currently vacationing with her husband in the Caribbean. And friends have told the Daily Star newspaper that the reason they're there is because Amy believes a baby will help put the pair in better stead and put all their troubles behind them.
Are you kidding?
That's well established. That's an effective technique to mend a broken relationship, Ralph.
Amy and Blake did not believe all these doom and gloom headlines about them being on the verge of death. So they were trying to have a baby.
They don't believe it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
As though they have no control over it.
Just when you thought you couldn't think of anyone you'd like to have raise a kid less than Britney Spears.
Wow. No kidding.
The Amy Winehouse story continues. This is a pretty funny list I thought was published the other day. Celebrities that have been in rehab over the past 2 years.
Okay.
Here's a list. A partial list. Jason Waller, Lindsay Lohan, Mike Tyson, Jonathan Rhys Meyers, Jesse Metcalf, Britney Spears, Mel Gibson, Robbie Williams, Eddie Van Halen, Leif Garrett, Robert Downey Jr., Tom Sizemore, Isaiah Washington, Colin Farrell, Daniel Baldwin, and Nicole Richie.
Wow.
Nicole Richie? Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was saying.
Leif Garrett still alive?
Good back. Yeah. Dude, to do Run Run. No, that wasn't him.
No.
I was made for dancing. I hope that they make that the cast of the next Surreal Life. I hope that everybody who goes through rehab has to appear on the Surreal Life as a condition of the release.
Celebrity rehab.
Would that be awesome?
That's what we need.
The Surrehab. Thank you. Thank you so much. Kevin Federline's attorneys have finally caught up with Britney Spears' ex-manager Larry Rudolph. You know this dude? He is her former manager who she fired.
He knows stuff.
But apparently very close friends still. And they said, if you want to get somebody into a courtroom who has to reveal the dirt on Britney Spears, this is the dude. He's been in hiding. He's been literally running and hiding to stay away from KFED's attorneys because he knew a subpoena was coming his way.
That doesn't work.
And he didn't want to get served.
That's one of my favorite things about the justice system. You can just, as long as you can run from the subpoena, you're fine.
Well, that'd be perfect for you. You go out back doors and run anytime there's any sort of hassle anyway. So they'd never catch up with you. But Larry Rudolph, he got served.
Oh, no, he didn't.
Outside the Sunset Tan in West L.A.
Sunset Tan.
Apparently he was bronzing himself when he came out. Booyakah! They slapped him with a subpoena, so hopefully we'll get to see him testify in court soon.
And the reason they do that, the reason you have to hand it in person is because they don't want you to have the option open to say, oh, didn't receive it.
Yeah.
If it came in the mail, I didn't get it.
Oh, that's why I'm not a juror.
Yeah, right.
Never got it.
But people always say, didn't touch it. Didn't touch me.
No, he didn't touch it. Yes, I did. Just take it. The subpoena servers just have the worst jobs in the world.
We should talk to them sometime.
That would be an interesting career to talk about.
When is all this going to happen, where all these witnesses are forced to be produced? What's the timeline for that?
I don't know if there's any scheduled appearance for them to start testifying, but it should be good times.
Yep.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Lynn Spears, Britney's mom, has told Us Weekly magazine that she's doing her best trying not to think about her daughter Britney too much.
For her grandchildren.
Yeah, because things are bad between them, so she's just trying not to think about it too much. She says she's got her hands full concentrating on Jamie Lynn's career over on her Nickelodeon show, Zoe 101.
Ugh.
And if she wants to screw up Jamie as much as she has Britney, she's really got a lot of work to catch
up on.
That's
true.
She really has been slacking when it comes to screwing up her youngest child. So she's got priorities. Here's a name we haven't heard in a while. James Vanderbeek. He's got a new job.
TV's Dawson.
TV's Dawson from Dawson's Creek. He's going to be on Ugly Betty this season as the owner of a design house. Yoo-hoo! Design house!
Would his enormous noggin, rivaled only by our own Kevin's, even fit on a small screen TV, Ralph?
Partially.
If you have like a 50-inch plasma, then you can see him. Other
biggest
than that,
head,
just eyes and forehead.
It is unbelievable. His head is so huge. We saw him again this year at the Celebrity Dodger game. And how can he stand?
Yeah. It does look like he's going to tip over at any moment.
At the game, he just puts the mitt on his face. He just uses his giant head as a backstop.
He's closes good. It with
as
his
a
mouth.
Catcher. Yeah.
Was he good?
Yeah. Vanderbeek was a man.
What, he
I thought you
up
were the
to
man.
Well, I mean, I'm in a whole different level.
Oh, sure.
Vanderbeek could play. Dawson,
in the lower category, he was the man in his category, but Dawson you were the man in your
game,
category.
Dawson had game. You guys remember his huge game-saving catch over the fence? You know, that helped our
No one was watching.
Oh.
No one was watching.
I'm just letting you know we won.
No one was watching.
I'm just letting you know we won.
Everyone was getting beers while you were playing your little game.
I was there. Bean and I were doing the play-by-play for the game, and I don't remember that.
We won.
You all remember the game-saving catch? No one remembers because no one was watching.
McHale and the white team lost.
It was a celebrity game.
Joel McHale and the white team lost. Dawson and I put in work. Game.
In that game, I got to the parking lot, and I parked my car. I think it was in Section 7. And then I got out of my car, and I walked towards the Dodger Stadium, and I was thinking, wow, there's a lot of entrances to Dodger Stadium, so I wasn't sure which one I was going to go into. And so then I went to this one guy, and I said, I'm here for the celebrity baseball game, and he said, wait a minute, are you Mexican? And then he hired me. And then
the Psycho Mike School of Storytelling.
Yeah.
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
And the Country Music Association announced their nominees for the 2007 awards. Sadly, no one gave an F because it's country music.
How dare you? How dare you?
And my favorite story of the day by far. A man was arrested after he broke into the Harry Houdini Museum in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and then couldn't escape. Couldn't write that, people. Just couldn't write it.
You just wouldn't believe it.
Today's celebrity birthdays... Glenn Tilbrook from one of my favorite 80s pop bands of all time, Squeeze. He's 50 years old today. Deborah Gibson, speaking of the 80s, she's 37 years old today.
She did Playboy a few years ago, too, right? And still looked great.
Looked pretty good. Chris Tucker,
Do you understand the birthday that is coming out of my week?
He is 35 years old today. And Richard Gere, actor, upsetter of the Indians. He is 58 years old today.
It's a hell of a title.
He's offended people. He's still allowed to do stuff. Yeah. He's allowed to be in show business. Why aren't we?
Sort of. I haven't seen him in a while.
That's true, yeah. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You can complain about a lot of things on the Kevin and Bean Show. No one can have any complaints about waking up on a Friday morning with Rob Zombie at 6 o'clock in the morning. That is the deal right there. Great song, great musical artist, great director, too. The guy behind The Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses back with a reimagining of the new film called Halloween. It opens up today. Please welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, our old pal, Rob Zombie. Yeah. Back on the line. Good morning, Rob.
Yo, good morning. Good morning.
Well, it's good to talk to you again, dude. You know, it's funny because you've made a couple movies in the past, and it didn't have quite the, you know, quite the hoopla surrounding something like this. When you start getting into something that people have loved their whole lives, expectations are raised a little bit, I bet.
Oh, yeah, no, it's great. I mean, that's what I love. You know, I mean, House of a Thousand Corpses came out, you know, it was a pretty small release. And then, you know, Devil's Rejects was bigger, but this now is huge. You know, it's great. It's on, like, I don't know, 4,000 screens or something, and it's just everywhere, and it's awesome.
You know, you're not faking the funk anymore. You actually are a legitimate working director now.
Yeah, that's true.
would you consider yourself to have been faking the funk at any point?
No, it was all work.
Yeah.
Why did you want to revisit this franchise? I mean, this is one of those that most people thought, you know, had been pretty much wrung out dry. There was nowhere left to go with it. What made you get the idea, hey, I think there's more to be said?
Well, you know, the people that own the franchise, Dimension Films, called me, and I had a meeting with them about it. And basically, I kind of said the same thing you just said. I was like, well, you know, this thing's kind of beat to death. What more can you do with it? You guys made 7 sequels. And
right.
It's pretty much dead. And then I thought about it for a while, and I came back to him. I said, you know, the only thing we could really do, I think, that would work because is start over. You know, like Batman Begins. Go back to the beginning and retell it bigger and better, you know?
So this
start over.
This is a unique, a different version of the first one, or is it before the first one in the
It's both,
timeline.
Really. It starts before the first one. It starts with young Michael Myers, you know, as a child, leading up to the night that he commits murder, and then takes, you know, then we spend time as he's incarcerated in the sanitarium for 17 years until his escape, and then his return to Haddonfield, which is basically where the first film starts, and all through that. But so really about 80% of the movie is completely original, and even when it is John Carpenter-esque, it's totally different anyway.
That's fun. Now, was there much known about Michael Myers' life as a young person, or were you able to just pretty much make the whole thing up whole cloth?
I made the whole thing up. I mean, all the characters in the beginning are all new characters that never existed, and all the situations are totally different. You know, because it was pretty much a clean slate. There was no story. I mean, in the first film, we don't see anything.
Yeah, awesome. Now, I'm sure you get asked this all the time, so forgive me, but why the decision to release it in August?
Well, to me, it makes sense for a couple reasons. I mean, you know, August 31st, you know, tomorrow's already September. You know, it just seems like that's when Halloween starts. If you go in stores now, all the Halloween candy's in stores, all the costumes are in stores. It's kind of on. But if you wait till Halloween, well, that's one day of the year.
Yeah, it's true.
There's something better about the expectation of Halloween coming than the fact that it already passed. Because once
you get
to November, people are like, well, you know, Halloween, I'm kind of over it.
I got news for you. In a week, Christmas stuff goes into the stores. That's bad news right there.
We're talking to Rob Zombie about his film Halloween that opens up, as Rob said, everywhere today. There's no movie screen not playing it. How'd you find the right guy to play Michael Myers? I don't know much about this Tyler Mane. What does he bring to it?
Well, I worked with him on The Devil's Rejects, and you know he had been in the X-Men. He played the character of Sabretooth. He was in Troy. He was Ajax, the huge like Trojan guy. And I just knew that I needed two things that were hard to find. I needed a really big guy, and I needed a really big guy who's a really good actor who could understand the subtlety of the character, as weird as that sounds, because he can't talk, and you don't really see his face. So he needs to convey so much with just simple movements that, you know, I needed someone that didn't just think it was going to be a lot of, like, big crashing through walls
big guy stuff.
Right, right. Now, this summer, there it seems like at the box office, there's been a little bit of a backlash against the super gory movies. A lot of those have come and gone kind of quickly, which is interesting because your movie doesn't go in that direction at all, right? Yours is really more of kind of an old-school scary movie rather than a gory film, right?
Yeah. I don't think that Halloween has anything to really do with those types of films. They're a very different genre. You know, and of course, you know, that the popularity of that's going to wane eventually. I mean, everything doesn't stay popular forever.
Right.
You know, they were hugely popular for a while, and now maybe not so. But Halloween's different. It's a more, like, suspenseful, scary movie. And at the center of it, what's very different, I think, is that you have Michael Myers. I mean, he's kind of like a classic monster at the center of it all. And it just makes it, you know, it's very different than those types of films.
Did you have Malcolm McDowell in mind when you started doing this?
Yeah, he was the first person I had in mind, so it was really good that I, you know, was able to track him down and get him to do it.
Yeah, no kidding. Well, Rob, we're so happy for you, and it has to be so weird to you as a lifetime fan of horror movies to think that a movie that you saw as a kid is now a movie with your name on it in theaters. I mean, to be part of that legacy of something that was important to you growing up, it has to be like a dream come true for you.
Yeah, it's totally surreal, actually. I mean, it's more in that sense, like, especially when I was making the film, at times it would just seem surreal because, you know, for a studio to basically come to you and say, you know, we own Halloween and we're going to give it to you to do whatever you want.
Wow. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
It's pretty wild. It is.
That movie opens in theaters today. One quick question about music. You're going to tour with Ozzy this fall?
Yeah, that starts in October.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Yeah,
that's a good one, too, right there.
Yeah, good times for our friend Rob Zombie. Well, Rob, you know, we're happy to support anything you do. You do great work up there on the screen and on the stage, man. I hope we get a chance to catch up soon on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.
Yeah, I'll definitely come by.
Thank you, man.
Right on.
Sounds good.
As you may or may not know, we've been locked in a battle with the management of this radio station because they say we're too offensive. And the K-Rock listeners spoke via email yesterday. They love the offensive nature of this program. So we present for you our new song.
Breed like a Latino.
Fertilize. Grab those eggs. Fertilize.
Breed like a Latino.
Fertilize. Grab those eggs and fertilize.
I breed like a Latino.
Fertilize.
That's our that's for everybody who wrote and said, hey, how come it's okay to say stuff like that about one group? Why don't you say it about all groups? So that's our mission today, is try to make sure to not leave anybody out. Speaking of the Latinos, by the way, this is a fascinating, fascinating story. You talk about a gang that just has cojones. The oldest, largest, and most violent gang in Riverside County is being investigated because they placed a yard sale ad in the Riverside Press Enterprise that police said was threatening to the county district attorney. I guess they said, we're selling our stuff off and it's going to benefit the estate, I guess?
Right.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Of Rod Pacheco?
Yeah.
Is that what it was going to go to his memorial.
Proceeds benefit Rod Pacheco Memorial Fund, which means they're threatening his life. Now, this district attorney, he is pretty much cracking down on this gang. And they had an injunction that would prohibit Eastside Riva members from gathering, wearing gang colors, carrying weapons, and other activities in a specified zone of the city's east side. So I don't think I want to be this guy.
No,
that's tough. But that's tough work right there.
He's taking on this gang, and they are striking back in a magazine ad, which seems like it would be bad. It was a full-page ad in Friday's paper.
Doesn't seem wise, but we've got our man on the street out there in San Bernardino, and we thought we'd check in with our pal Rudy and find out what he knows about the... that's Rudy, all right.
Yeah.
I don't know if he knows anything about the Eastside Riva gang, but we'll find out. Hey, Rudy?
Yes, guy. What's up, man?
How you doing? Hey, before we get started on the story, man, I'm sorry about your Raiders last night. I know that hurt you.
The Raiders played last night?
Well, that's your team. They're your favorite team.
You're the worst Raider fan ever.
Oh, man. I was sleeping all early because I went to the Junior Walker and All-Stars concert at Santa Fe Springs. And, like, oh, I got some bomb-ass acid. Mm-hmm. And then, like, next thing I know, it's Friday. So, whatever.
I understand.
But the Raiders did good, huh?
Well, I mean, they did okay, but they lost, is all I'm saying.
Raiders.
I mean, it's only preseason.
It's all right. A lot of football left, eh?
Now, Rudy, do you know about the Eastside Riva gang?
Do I know, eh? I got, like five cousins and a couple homeboys out there, you know? Like, there's Ginger Toes, Little Pukey, Ghost Dog, Joker, Donut Bum, all those vatos out there, eh? Like, I'm down with them, eh?
I'm sorry, I need a clarification. Is it Donut
Bum?
Bum? Is that one person or is it Donut?
No. Don't be stupid.
I don't know.
Donut is my mom's niece's grandson.
I see.
And Bum is my cousin from my dad's brother. and on like on my other stepdad's side.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know how you keep that stuff straight. Well, were any of them served with this this notice of arrest yesterday? I guess 89 of the gang members were sued by the prosecutor's office yesterday.
I don't know. I haven't, like I said, it's been a couple of days since I like remember stuff.
Okay.
So I haven't talked to them, but like, I mean, I thought it was a good idea for them to like, you know, confront this puto like face on with the using the paper, you know what I'm saying? Because like a lot of like the white people, they read the paper, you know, so it's
right.
Like,
right.
If you want to like hit them, you know, where it hurts, it's like go on their territory. You know what I'm saying?
So they put it out in the classified section, and it said it was advertising a week-long big blowout, going out of business. Proceeds benefit this guy's memorial fund.
That's right. Eh? You better recognize.
That
better
seems,
recognize district attorney.
That seems bad.
Is this? I mean, is this something that's catching on? Is this the way to get the message out now in the Latino community?
Exactly. Eh? Like. It works so well out in the Inland Empire, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, I'm going to adopt that and, like, do what I can with it out here in East Los, you know, where I live, eh? And, like, that's, I mean, I'm down with the paper. That's how I met Sad Girl, eh? Like, I took out an ad, mm-hmm. you know? I put single Hispanic male looking for single Hispanic female with less than three kids and really, really crispy hair, no eyebrows, and a teardrop tattoo.
And it worked.
And then my baby came to me.
That worked. Wow.
Mira, yeah? And so, like, I figured, like, look, they did it. I know how to work with the paper and the classified, so I already got, like, my whole page ad I'm going to take out, like, later today. But,
oh.
I want to run it by you first. You
oh,
know?
You're going to take out
okay.
an ad, too?
Yeah, to, like, an assemblyman who handles East Los, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to say, look, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm influential in East Los, and my glica, my gang, you know what I'm saying? We're down, and, like we're with the people. We have some demands, you know?
Okay.
And if you don't answer them, there's going to be hell to pay.
What are your demands?
All right. Let me clear my throat real quick.
Well, I mean, if that helps.
Does it?
Here we go, eh? Listen.
All right.
Dear Assemblyman Mallorca, if you want to live to see your kids get older, bitch,
what?
You better answer my demands, tray fast, puto. Demand number one, start handing out Dodger dogs to people waiting in the front of Home Depot.
Dodger dogs for people in front of Home Depot.
These are people who only understand their own culture, and Mexican food is all they know. So they need Dodger dogs, you know?
Okay.
Mexican food.
All right.
Secondly, make it so Morrissey is the driver of all buses and cabs in the greater Los Angeles area.
Well, I don't think he could physically do that.
Make it happen.
All right.
Third, remove all uteruses from all Hispanic women within city limits. It's getting old, eh?
That's just ridiculous.
It's getting old, man. Like,
yeah,
I don't even bang chicks anymore. Like, they're like, the baby's yours. I'm like, prove it. And they're right. I look at girls and I get them pregnant now. It's getting old, eh?
Okay.
And finally, use your governmental powers to influence Levi's to start making swim trunks so that all us Mexican men can stop this charade of pretending like jeans are for the water. It's stupid. It's just stupid.
Do you hope to get some results from this ad?
Or else there'll be hell to pay.
All right. Well, good luck with that,
yeah,
Rudy.
All right.
Bye now. We had a little meltdown yesterday. Sorry about that.
Our bad.
Our bad. But the man was coming down on us, and we can't take it anymore. This is what it's about. We didn't want to mention it a lot. But, Kevin, I was fortunate enough to hear Lean Like a Homo on Tuesday morning show and found it hilarious. By the way, he's a gay man that's writing this.
Okay.
I decided to Google it and see where the heck I could hear it again and stumbled on this very annoying article posted on the Advocate site in New York. I wanted to write you and let you know that your response to this idiot was more than appropriate, and I totally agree with what you said. I myself am gay and thought the play on Lean Like a Cholo was brilliant. I didn't think there was a damn thing offensive about it unless you're a person who's looking for things to offend you. I really would like to hear it again. Is there somewhere it's streaming or something? I looked all over the K-Rock page and could not find it. No, it's been,
and never ever will.
Please keep doing what you guys are doing. There's no reason for you to change, become some hypersensitive queens cannot deal with something as hilarious as Lean Like a Homo. Chris, here's,
Not that in reading that, Kevin is suggesting that that song or that controversy had anything to do with what happened yesterday, because we've been expressly forbidden from discussing that.
Of course.
But I think you're right that that song has been pulverized and is probably only available on some sort of illegitimate bootleg site. But those places do exist, if you look.
I'm offended by all the people calling in and saying they are offended by your show. Everyone who listens to the Kevin and Bean Morning Show know you make fun of everybody. For those people who are offended, change the station. My radio has 16 presets on it. I can push it any time and listen to another station. It's magic.
I listen to Kevin and Bean because you guys are funny. If you happen to start talking about something I don't want to hear, I change the radio station. Besides, if what you're going to talk about is truly offensive, you play all that disclaimer stuff, and I know I better change the station because I have my daughter in the car. If I choose to listen to a show that offends everyone, that's my right as a citizen of America, where we enjoy freedom of speech, and I should be able to have the choice to listen to that type of show just as much as those who are offended have the choice to complain. So if you're offended by the Kevin and Bean show, listen to something else and let those of us who like the show be entertained. Debbie
makes so much sense. It seems so clear when she writes that, yet that message just sounds foreign to the people above us at this radio station.
Yeah.
And finally, I'm offended that you guys call yourself the world famous K-Rock. I've traveled to other countries around the world, and they've never heard of you guys.
That is something to be offended
by. Thank you for that email.
I've got one. It's a quick follow-up on a topic we had on the air earlier this week, which is about the large number of Mexican superstitions, stuff that all Mexicans grow up hearing about, and the rest of us have no clue. Well, here's one from K-Rock listener Luisa. As a Mexican, this is extremely embarrassing. I can't believe the ignorance of my own people. As a kid, I believed everything my grandparents and my parents said. But now that I'm adult, I realize that the superstitions are dumb. Now I constantly watch my dog poop. I never get a sty. I get my feet wet without wetting my head. I'm fine. To keep passing on these whack superstitions on down is retarded. This is why I married a white guy, to stop the madness. P.S. Yes, my husband smells like mayonnaise. That is true. Yeah, we're upset to find out about that, but apparently it is true, and apparently everybody but Whitey knew it.
Yesterday we talked to the American Mustache Institute.
Yes.
And they're trying to bring back the mustache, and I guess we all decided we're going to try and grow
it. I believe that's true.
And this Shannon writes, it's a known fact that all old school cops have mustaches. I think that's true, and that's why we're going to grow them as well, so we can be the man.
We're going to have a conversation maybe with Mrs. Bean on Tuesday, who is so vehemently spastic about mustaches, hates them so much. Not like she would ever come in contact with mine anyway.
No kidding.
But we're getting ready to go away on vacation next month.
Fantastic.
And she just doesn't want me to have that bad, bad, bad look, because you know how awful it's going to look, because I can barely grow a mustache.
Because she feels like you're going to look cooler than her. That's why.
Well, that's what I tried to convince her, is that it's because I would be too awesome. But we may have to talk to her, because she is doing everything but forbidding it. And I think, you know, that's no good.
Wow. That, you know what? That just – people need to realize, when you forbid something – maybe it's just me, but that just makes me want to do it more.
It spurs you on.
Yeah, I mean,
I didn't care all that much about whether I grew a mustache or not. Yeah, it would have been funny, but she says you can't grow a mustache, and I say to you, wrong, sir, wrong. That's what I say. All right, Lisa has one, yeah.
This is in reference to Linus, Kevin's personal assistant.
Personal assistant.
Hi, Lisa May. If Kevin of the Kevin and Bean Show needs a personal assistant, I think you do as well. I would like to offer my services to you to help you, as you clearly need a personal assistant. I am an expert at walking dogs, karate sparring, and lettuce wedges. Look forward to hearing from you, your future personal assistant, DJ Coast.
Well, how about
Isn't that?
Isn't that
nice?
Fantastic.
I'm very excited.
And finally, if you go to the K-Rock website, Kevin and Bean page video, you can click on something called Heavy Metal Parking Lot. We did a bunch of interviews in the parking lot before the Slayer Marilyn Manson show.
Yes.
And this email is from Corey. Any chance to get that F your mom, die soundbite in the Download Rodeo? I need a new ringtone.
Oh my God.
And the answer to that is yes. We could actually put that up at the Download Rodeo so that when your phone rings and you're, you know, in a business meeting or something, this is what you hear.
Yeah! Everybody! You! Eat suck your mom, die, fuck your mom, die, fuck your mom, die, fuck your mom, yeah.
How could anyone be against that?
I'm Ralph Sir with the Showbiz Beat right now. What's going on, Ralph?
The vast majority of people I hate are all white, so don't accuse me of being racist.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
That's no question about that.
I hate tons of white people.
You hate us.
Especially you. But blacks and Latinos, I'm fairly fond of.
Yeah.
Last night on David Letterman, Hillary Clinton did herself a world of good, in my opinion. For the first time in my personal experience, I found her to be quite warm and charming and engaging.
Are you positive that you want to do that story first?
Kevin.
As they're still sending it?
They don't have. Oh, we're just sending the information now?
I'm
that,
just
that
saying.
Audio is just coming in?
It'll be ready in a few seconds.
Oh, I see.
Okay, we're good.
Listen to Lisa's indignancy,
well,
by the way. Kevin!
He,
I know.
So I some sort of political issue
he,
or
yeah.
something.
I mentioned someone earlier who met Hillary and liked her, and Kevin's like, is she a woman? Well, that's what it is.
Oh, I was making a lesbian joke.
Ready.
Oh,
for God's
I see. Sakes.
It's all, right, about, it's all about the pantsuits.
We're ready now.
First of all, she busted Letterman's chops for making fun of her pantsuits all the time, which I thought was pretty funny. She's like, you know what? I've got a collection here of jokes I've heard over the years regarding you. And it was
awesome.
Like saying, didn't you in fact say, oh, you can tell Summer's here, Hillary Clinton hit the beach in a one-piece pantsuit? He's like, yeah, I may have said that. Did you say that New York had Mets fever recently? Hillary Clinton was seen in a blue and orange pantsuit? Yeah, yeah, I could have said that too. But she took it all in good fun, and she came out out with her own top 10 list at the end of her interview, which I thought it was very entertaining. Here's a few highlights.
Number 6. My vice president will never shoot anybody in the face. We will finally have a president who doesn't mind pulling over and asking for directions. Am I right, ladies? Number 2. I will appoint a committee to find out what the heck is happening on Lost.
Yeah.
One more pantsuit joke and Letterman disappears.
Yeah.
Wow.
Those are her campaign promises that she will fulfill as president.
I wish she could read a little better, but other than that, it was pretty funny.
Oh, bitch, bitch, bitch.
Yeah.
Well,
I'm
just
never good enough for you, is it, Bean?
Her vice president may not shoot someone in the face, but her first lady will. You know what I mean?
Oh, the first man?
First man.
Oh, I see.
First gentleman?
First lady? I'm thinking, isn't that Chelsea? I don't get it.
No, it's...
Okay, her husband.
Gotcha. I could have said that better.
Bill Clinton.
Can I try that again?
No.
All right.
Please don't.
Sorry.
Jessica Simpson. She's upset.
Oh, hate to see that.
Apparently Us Weekly magazine says John Mayer, her ex-boyfriend, is now hot and heavy with Cameron Diaz.
Boobs.
And Jessica Simpson is freaked out because he's moved on and she's still not over him.
Mm.
So she's jealous, envious, bitter.
Ralph, what is it that the celebrities all see in Cameron Diaz? Why is she such a hot ticket?
I have no idea. Because in a related story, Demi Moore apparently is jealous of Cameron Diaz.
Why?
Because Ashton Kutcher is currently making a movie with her in Las Vegas. And word is that Demi did a pop-in, a surprise visit, to make sure everything was cool in the set to see if anything was going on between the two of them.
Cameron must be fun.
Hey, how's everything going
hey,
here,
hey, what's going on here with you two in the trailer? Hi, how are you?
You guys doing some good work
here? Hi, Mrs. Kutcher. Nice to meet you. But in a million years, I would take Demi Moore still to this day at her age over Cameron
Absolutely.
Diaz in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
I think
agree.
So,
no
too.
Question.
I don't know what she has to worry about.
Although, if she starts visiting the set a lot, that's not a good sign.
might give me a little agita, as the Italians say. Lane Garrison's on suicide watch. This is the dude from Prison Break who's serving a jail sentence related to the motor vehicle accident that killed a teenager in his car.
Yeah.
Us Weekly magazine says that he is so despondent he had to be moved to the psychiatric hospital ward of the prison for observation because he apparently is a huge threat to take his own life.
Dude.
Yeah. I can imagine that's just got to be hell. I mean, he's an effed up dude who did an effed up thing, but then you got to live with it, and then you got to live with it in prison,
yeah,
for a long, long time, and you have nothing to do but obsess about it and think about it. You know?
That isn't good for you.
So I say, let him take his life. Let's all move on.
I'm not sure that's what you're really saying.
That's what I'm saying.
Would you like to reconsider
just
that?
Turn your back, give him a sheet, show him how to tie it into knots, and just say, all right, here's your way out.
It is weird how much time and taxpayer money they spend on stopping prisoners from killing themselves if they really want to. Yeah. I don't know necessarily, not that I'm agreeing with you with this particular actor, but I don't know why the rush to save all those guys to sit in prison the rest of their lives.
You know what they do it most?
Shoes.
You know what they do it most? On death row.
I know, that
is
funny.
That's the biggest, highest security for suicide watch in all the prisons.
And if they get sick or hurt or something, they will nurse them back to health just before they put them to death.
The word death is in the section where they're staying, death row, and they want to make sure you don't die before they kill you.
They want to save taxpayer dollars.
They won't send you to the chair, not a joke, right, guys? If you've got pneumonia or something, they wait until you're well.
They got to wait till you get healthy before they kill you.
Right, that's true.
Madness! You know, I'm a big science fiction fan. Wired magazine. You ever read Wired? It's
sometimes
a really good magazine.
Sometimes. Great magazine.
I know it has sort of a reputation of being sort of a geek magazine, but they got a lot of fascinating articles in there about technology as well as entertainment. And they have just released their top 20 best science fiction movies of all time list.
Top 20.
And I got to agree.
Tall order.
I got to agree with every one of them on here.
Jason X, number one?
Not so much.
All right.
Number 20 is Barbarella. Have you ever seen Barbarella with Jane Fonda? That crazy 60s sexed out science fiction movie? It's awesome. Yeah. Akira, legendary Japanese film. The Day the Earth Stood Still was number 18. Although Planet of the Apes only made 17 on the list. And I thought it should have been higher, but I'm still glad it's on there. RoboCop, number 16.
Yeah.
Soylent Green, 15. Oh, if you haven't seen Chuck Heston eat somebody,
creepy.
You don't know what you're missing. Sleeper, the Woody Allen comedy where he goes into the future.
Yeah.
Very, very funny. 14. The Terminator, 13. Tron. Oh, Tron. That's how the video game goes. 12, The Road Warrior, the original Mad Max movie. Number 11 on that list. Star Wars, number 10.
10.
10.
That seems like it
Crack
should be higher.
Top 10. Jurassic Park, number 9. The Boys from Brazil. If you've never seen this one, The Boys from Brazil, a great movie about cloning Nazis. Good stuff. It's number 8 on the list. Alien, number 7. A Clockwork Orange. There's a creepy movie for you from Stanley Kubrick. Number 6, Brazil. Very creepy, funny movie from Terry Gilliam. Number 5 on the list. 2001, A Space Odyssey. Of course, one of the classics. Number 3, The Matrix. They have on their list. Number 2, Gattaca. Did you ever see Gattaca?
Yes.
No.
Yes. Gattaca's great.
Was it
with,
good?
With Uma Thurman and that...
Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke, yeah. I was going to say that sullen dude, and I couldn't think of his name.
And number 1 is The Island. Scarlett Johansson?
Yes, The Island. No, Blade Runner. Blade Runner, number 1.
Sure.
Still considered the classic science fiction movie of all time. Pretty good list. You can pick that up in Wired magazine this week. And speaking of science fiction, you guys ever watch the Doctor Who show?
Nope.
Doctor Who is a British science fiction television program that's been on for like 40 years or something, but they keep recasting the Doctor. The premise is that this guy lives forever, but he keeps changing shape, so when they put a new actor in there, it's just him taking on another physiology. Well, they've revamped it again, and apparently it's a smash hit over in England, and it's doing very well here in the States as well. And rumor has it that rock legend David Bowie is going to be performing on Doctor Who.
No kidding. Yeah. You mean singing or playing?
No, acting. You know, he's done his fair share of acting. He's done some movies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's a big coup for them. Apparently they have cast him in Doctor Who. Yesterday, in fact, David held a press conference, and he released this statement.
I'll be on Doctor Who. I'll be on Doctor Who. I'll be on Doctor Who.
Follow-up question.
I'll be on Doctor Who.
What else did he say?
I'll be on Doctor Who.
Right. Will you be on Doctor
Who? I'll be on Doctor Who.
What's your next project?
I'll be on Doctor Who.
Right, so you'll...
I'll be on Doctor Who. I'll be on Doctor Who. I'll be on Doctor Who.
Thank you, Dave.
I'll be on Doctor Who. I'll be on Doctor Who.
Got it. I think we got it.
Wow.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
David Bowie's representative denied the fact that he'll be on Doctor Who.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I swear I heard him say that. He made a reference to the fact that I think he's going to be on it.
It's a celebrity birthday today. Richard Gere, the actor and gerbil lover, is 58 years old today.
When will that die?
Never.
The gerbil?
It didn't happen, though.
Gerbil already died.
Already dead.
Yeah. I know a guy whose sister is a nurse who was working in the emergency room at Cedars-Sinai the night that Richard Gere came in. And she said that it absolutely happened.
Same liars.
Same person saw Rod Stewart. That whole thing.
That's
that happened
right.
The same
yes. Night. And that nurse later got married.
Right.
But she cheated on her husband with the best man.
Right.
And her husband put photos of them cheating under everybody's seat at the wedding.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Until he woke up in the bathtub full of ice with his liver gone. Yeah.
That's right. Call 911.
She cheated with the best man. They had a kid. And she liked lemon jello and orange jello so much, they named the twin boys Lorangelo and Amandelo.
Yes.
I did hear that. That is true.
And then they went on vacation.
Verifiable.
And they went to the Caribbean, and they left their hotel room, and they came back. Everything was there.
What are you talking about? I don't even understand what you're saying.
The stuff was moved around, but nothing was missing. And then they looked at their vacation photos when they got home, and the guy had a toothbrush in his ass.
Was it the guy or was it the cute little dog they bought in Mexico that they got home and then found out
it was,
it was
a
actually
rat.
A rat?
It was a rat!
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
Can't kill momentum that's not there.
Orange?
All right, that doesn't help.
Stop it, Dave.
Debbie Gibson, the 80s singer, is 37 years old today, and Chris Tucker, who's got a smash hit on his hands with Rush Hour 3. Does that mean Rush Hour's 4?
Of course.
Yeah, he's 35 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show with
you. I'll be on Doctor Who.
I think we got that.
One up here on Doctor
I'll
Who.
Be on Doctor
I've
Who.
Reported that already, David.
I'll be on Doctor Who. I'll be on Doctor Who.
You're listening to The Coast.
No, still K-Rock.
Coast
that's just
103.5.
That's just the sensitive side of Billy Corgan and Smashing Pumpkins. Of course, the band that's headlining the K-Rock LA Invasion. You can still win your tickets this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll give you a chance for that coming up. Actor Seth Green on the way.
The Coast.
Kevin, it's not The Coast.
Oh, sorry.
Kevin, you've been talking up this Right at Your Door movie that you saw. What's the deal?
Oh, I love this movie. I guess it's an independent, and it came out maybe a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one of the stars, Mary McCormick, on the phone. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning.
How are you today?
I'm okay. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. We're big fans of your work. I loved you on the West Wing in particular. But hasn't L.A. suffered enough after the dirty bomb on 24? What is up with everybody trying to destroy L.A.?
I know. Poor L.A. I love it.
Well, you know, this is a topic that has had a lot done on it, a lot of movies. But this mm-hmm. particular movie, it's called Right at Your Door. It's a limited release. There's 5 theaters. We'll tell you where they are a little bit later. But it's fantastic. What if dirty bombs went off?
That's nice.
The guy was at home. His wife was downtown where it happened. He wasn't sure. He couldn't get through. The family couldn't get through. It's just it was so well done. And I wasn't expecting it to be that good because there's a lot of these kinds of projects about sure. terrorism.
Yeah, there are a lot about terrorism. And also, we didn't really do ours for any money at all. And I just thought the writer-director, he's the first time. He just did a great job. His name's Chris Gorak, and he did a great job. Both writing it and then sort of devising it because it feels like a huge horror movie. It feels like a disaster movie, but it's you know on a sort of smaller scale.
How did you get hooked up with this movie?
I just read the script and thought this is so good I'm never going to get it. You know, I just thought this part is too great and the script's too good and so I just auditioned.
That's the kind of confidence it takes to be an actress, right there.
I don't know.
Never going to get that.
Now, what's interesting about this film, and this is a Bean, Mary, and I have not yet seen it, but I'm very much looking forward to it this weekend. But this is the micro version of the story that usually we see in macro. We usually see the planes and the tanks and the guy in the White House and the you know people running down the streets and everything. But this is really how it would affect one family in Southern California if a disaster like this were to hit, right?
That's right. It's how it affects one couple. And he did it with just not – I mean, wait till you see. It feels like an enormous movie.
It does.
And actually, it's a lot scarier somehow without seeing all that. And you see just enough. He gives you sort of like snippets and images. You know, like there's an image of me sitting in my soft top car. You know, I'm in a convertible and an arm is in my lap. And so with ash falling everywhere. And so you sort of get a sense that if that's one person's – If that's the experience that happens to that girl in that minute, and happening all over the city, what a nightmare it must be!
I will tell you that there's
it's horrifying.
I will tell you that there's one thing that I didn't buy in this movie. Mm-hmm. I love the movie, mm-hmm. but the husband's at home, the wife is downtown, and she gets radiation or whatever, and he locks her out of his house.
He locks her out.
He locks her out of his house.
Brutal.
Guys, this is me again, but you know, life's for the living. Life's for the living. You know what I mean?
But A, he locks her out, and B, she doesn't, run through the locked door and go in and say, "What about this, mother effer?"
Well, she tries to run through the locked door.
It was unbelievable. But the guy's like, he can't figure out what to do. He tries his best to make it work, and it was.
And then she decides that she doesn't want him to die as well. That it shouldn't be this sort of joint suicide.
Wow, that is horrifying.
So it's a comedy.
It's horrifying. Yeah. It was really horrifying to make it, too. It was 19 days. Thank God they were broke because it was only 19 days of shooting. I think I would have killed myself if there had been another week.
No kidding.
And from what I understand, from what I've read about the film, Mary, very physical for you, too. Very exhausting days, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, really horrifying. Like, there's one day where we had friends in town. My husband and I had friends in town when we were shooting in. I thought, this would be a good day for you to visit set. And they came, and I was like, this is a light day. And it was the day, like, where I'm dragged away in mountains of ash and sort of dying, coughing blood by soldiers and toxic.
Good time.
I know. And they were like, are you kidding? This is your good day? I'm like, yeah, this is easy. This is like the day of, you know, this is the light day.
Did you wink at your family when you're being dragged out by your hair?
I was so excited I didn't have to, like, actually do a death speech that day that I thought this would be a fun day to all have lunch together.
Now, I don't want people to get the idea that it's like, it's a downer in a bad way. It's not like...
It's not without hope.
It's just thoughtful. Yeah.
It's thoughtful, and it's
yeah.
It's also one of these movies that it doesn't end like every other movie that you've seen.
Okay.
And that's really...
It's definitely a thriller. It's definitely a thriller,
yes.
I think, first and foremost. I mean, it certainly deals with heavy stuff, but I think it's stuff we all think about, too. I mean,
yeah.
I know for me, part of my excitement about it was that this is stuff we all daydream about, whether we want to or not. You know, I mean, you certainly... We hear the words Code Orange and Code Red now, and, you know, we think about airline travel a lot more than we ever thought about it before, and it's just part of our... Unfortunately, since 9/11, it's part of our lives.
Absolutely. You know, we're speaking with Mary McCormick, if you're just joining us, about our new film in theaters today, and we'll give you the list of theaters in a couple of minutes here. It's called Right at Your Door. We've actually had conversations on this show since 9/11 about people who are just freaked out by Los Angeles being such a big target. I mean, I think it's in the back of everyone's mind, but we have a really good friend, Mary, who actually moved away from L.A. because he was just convinced that eventually it was going to happen. It was just too depressing and too stressful for him. I mean...
Do you guys do anything, like, in your life because of... Because of those fears? I mean, do you make any changes in your life?
I yell at Muslims.
No, I'm just kidding. I don't know that that's helpful.
I'm just joking.
I barely prepare for earthquakes, much less terrorist attacks.
But that's one of the fascinating things that I understand is kind of addressed in your movie, is that you have, just like with 9/11, you have to get your head around that the world that you think you know is now upside down, and anything that might have applied 5 minutes ago may not apply now. And that's something that your character and the others have to kind of come to grips with.
That's right. And also, is the government, I mean, is, you know, who's the enemy and who's going to save you? And
right.
Are there any, you know, are we actually safe? And all this preparation and talk of codes and, you know, all of that stuff, is it actually going to matter when all hell breaks loose?
That's one of the thriller angles to this movie, is that people come to the door from the government and you're trying to figure out, like, is this the doctor they promised
or help?
What the hell's going on? That's one of the really great parts of the movie. I got to tell you, I watched this and I loved it. It's called Right at Your Door. It's showing at the Irvine Edwards University, Long Beach at the AMC Pine Square 16, in Orange at the AMC 30 at the Block, in Pasadena at the Lemley 1 Colorado, and in West Hollywood at the Lemley Sunset 5.
Cool.
And certainly worth looking for.
Last question for you, Mary. What is harder to survive, a dirty bomb in Los Angeles or making out with Howard Stern in the Private Parts movie?
I thought I saw that coming. I love kissing Howard, so you'll never...
All right. Dirty bomb, then. All right.
Dirty bomb it is. Actress Mary McCormick, Right at Your Door is the movie. Thanks a lot for coming on. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Bye now.
I'm not saying I wouldn't call anybody if I won the Mega Millions. I wouldn't call any of you, but I would call Scott Mason to have him turn off my email address. That's the one call to the first and only call I would ever have to make to K-Rock, just to make sure my email's cut off.
We have had this conversation many times. What would happen if we won the lottery?
Mm-hmm.
And most of us would pretty much do the same thing. I think we would kind of, you know, you either quit immediately or stay at work and have the worst attitude ever. Like, okay,
right.
So fire me. What do you got? So, it's up to $325 million.
Yeah, the Mega Millions.
And if you accept the cash value, you will get a check for $191 million.
Wow. Wow.
I don't know how many weeks this thing had to roll over to get to this point, but there every week comes and goes, and there's no big money winner. So now, yeah, it's up to $325 million. There are about a dozen states, I think, that you can play the Mega Millions. California is one of them. And we don't do this topic very often, but we are fascinated with people who have a system for winning the lottery. Now, everybody I've ever met who has a system, who has a way that they have to play, a store that they need to buy from, a way that they have to pick their numbers, a certain number of tickets they need to buy, all those people have a system. None of them have a lottery win on their record. Okay?
Right. Not one. That's what makes it fascinating, is that they stick with it. They got a plan. They're implementing it. They're confident about it. And
right.
None of them have won the lottery ever.
I know. They would be like me having a plan to run a marathon. I mean, it would be as effective. It doesn't matter what kind of research I do. I'm still not going to be able to finish the 26.2 miles. But we do have K-Rock listener Tim on the line right now, who apparently thinks we're all wet because he's got a system, and goddammit, the system's going to win him the big money. Good morning, Tim. Welcome to K-Rock.
Good morning, guys.
Okay, how long? First things first, how many lotteries have you won?
That would be zero.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So far, though, right? So far.
So far.
So far, yeah. Exactly. You got to be an optimist.
All right.
How often do you play?
I play twice a week.
Twice a week.
Both lotteries. So I'm in every single one.
Both lotteries. Okay. And what is your system?
Way back when, I just was bored at work, didn't like my job, and I really liked the numbers, so I decided to download all of the winning numbers that had come through California Lottery, and I came up with some crazy algorithm to see which numbers came up most frequent.
Really?
And
wow.
Most frequent together.
So it's kind of, most people have their systems, and we're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067 for your system. Most people, it's based on, like, my birthday or my, whatever. Yeah,
kids' birthdays. Yeah.
But that's, I mean, yours is no more effective, but it is at least based on.
Seems more intelligent.
On the numbers that have come up. Well, I guess it's mathematical.
A little more nerdy.
But Tim, I'm no mathematician, but the numbers are drawn randomly. There's no reason why any number should come up more often than another number after a certain amount of time, right? After you get to a point where statistically, all things being equal, all numbers should come up equally, right?
Yeah, I guess. But what if one of those balls is heavier than the other and it just happens to come up more often? You never know.
Well, I have a feeling that that's something that the Lottery Commission addresses to make sure that it can't be fixed. I mean, I have a feeling that's the type of thing that they think about and look into, but maybe I'm wrong.
Dude, I've got a 5-pound number 17 ball. Here you go. Put this in.
All right. Which do you mind sharing, or is this against your policy to share some of those numbers that do come up more often in the California Lottery?
Well, you know, I guess I could share a few, but what? I don't want to give the whole combination. Okay. Otherwise, I'm going to have to share my winnings.
What number comes up the most, the single number?
Well, I mean, I did do this research a long time ago, but at the time, 11, 28, 31, those were
those are good numbers, man. Those are really good numbers. I don't see how you can go wrong with those.
Except every single week.
I think it doesn't make any sense. I mean, they say that any number combination has the same odds. But to me, it doesn't make any sense to pick your own numbers. To me, it makes more sense to pick random.
But that's no better, though, is it?
It is.
Aren't they all equally ineffective?
Yes, they are. That's true. But I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. We were just talking about this earlier in the week, Tim. The Mega Millions drawing from Tuesday. I guess it's a Tuesday and Friday night drawing, so people can get in on it if they want to buy a ticket for tonight's drawing. But the number that was drawn on Tuesday, the lowest number on that ticket was 37. Okay, every number was 37 or above. So the millions of people who went out and bought tickets using anniversaries and birthdays and kids' birthdays, none of them had a chance to win. If they had played randomly without their own bias in the ticket number selected, they would at least maybe had a chance.
Nope. That's where you're wrong. They wouldn't have even had a chance then.
All right, Tim, we're almost out of time with you, but any final tip beyond what you've told us so far that you think is a good way to win the lottery?
Well, here's one thing. Don't ever pick your own numbers, because now I'm locked in for the rest of my life.
Oh,
if I never play those numbers and it happens to win,
sure,
I'm going to have to jump off a bridge.
So you can't change because of that, of course.
I understand that, yeah.
That makes sense. All right, well, best of luck not winning the lottery.
Thank you very much.
Okay, bye now. All right, 1-800-520-1067. We have some great systems on hold. People are funny with the numbers that they pick, and we'll take your calls next on K.
In 63 countries around the world, dozens of lottery machines spin hundreds of lottery balls.
Yes.
It takes seconds for the winning numbers to be selected, seconds for the losers to realize they have lost. But for the winners, it is an event which will undoubtedly change their lives forever.
See, that's the thing. The odds are crappy unless you're the one person Friday night who wins $325 million. That's the rub of the lottery, and that's why it's so popular.
And we've had this conversation many times. Bean would not – we wouldn't hear from him. He would just – the phone wouldn't work.
Right.
And there wouldn't be an email, hey, won the lottery, suckers, bye-bye,
nope.
Nothing. Just no mention, no way of getting in contact again.
Gone.
I would want you to wonder for the rest of your life if that's what happened to me. That's what I would want. So 1-800-520-1067. Oh, so many great calls, and I guarantee none of these people have won the lottery. But where do you want to start? Because a lot of good approaches as we head into the big jackpot for tonight.
Well, let's start with Joe, who gets some extra help in West Covina. Good morning, Joe.
Hello?
Hi there.
Hi, Jeff.
What is your, what's your plan? How do you pick the numbers for the lottery?
Oh, I have a, I go to a psychic lady that, that picks them for me.
Go to a psychic, okay. And how long have you done that?
Now it's probably been a year, but I was just going to do it for about a month. It didn't work out. So, like,
what does that cost, Joe?
She only charged me 35 watts. I first went for girlfriend reasons, and then I went for the lottery, so I figured I might as well just win the lottery. I could probably get a lot of chicks that way.
But, Joe,
it worked out. The first time I won, like, it actually worked. I won, oh, I guess I didn't even win what I paid, but I won about, like, I don't know, $26 or something like that. So I figured that was the first time, and I was like, all right, she's legit. And
okay. Then it, but Joe, did you ask her before you went headlong into this how many times she had won the lottery?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Why would she be working as a psychic,
making
booking you for booking you for $35 sessions if she had the ability to win the lottery? Use your head, Joe.
I didn't think about that.
Okay. So so you've gone how long now? A year? Did you say?
Yeah, almost a year. Almost but a year. That'd be cheating, you know, for her.
Oh, yeah, yes. That's going to stop her.
It's $325 million. I'm guessing she would cheat if she could.
Psychics have nothing but good standards.
Psychics
exactly.
Are not like the leaders. They're not like the leaders of the church or anything who are also evil usually.
You know what? No, you know what? I think I know it's kind of crap, but I think if I stop now,
that's
I'm
the thing.
End up, you know.
That's what the last guy said. If you pick a system and you don't stick with it and that system wins, you'll kick yourself for the rest of your life. So you're pretty much stuck using that system for the rest
that
of
that psychic has won the lottery with you, Joe.
Right. Yes. Well said. Thank you very much. 1-800-520-1067. Let's go to line four. We've got Dan. He's calling us all the way down from San Diego. He's got something to add to what Tim told us about maybe the balls not being evenly weighted. Hi, Dan.
How you doing?
Good, thanks. What's your system for winning the lottery?
Well, in the morning I wake up, have some breakfast, take a warm shower. If my left nut is sagging lower, I pick even numbers. If the right one sags lower, I pick odds.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the balls that they used to pick the numbers. You're talking about your own balls.
I have balls under my stomach, yeah.
I got you. Okay.
Now, how do you determine odds even? How do you determine that?
I told you. If the left one sags lower, it's odds.
Okay.
If the right one sags lower, it's even.
And you've won the lottery.
How many times have you think I've won in my foolproof way?
I'm going to go with none.
Well, actually, I've won $5 in a matter of 5 years.
Okay, then it's worth it.
Then, yeah,
it's
work. Stick with
all right.
That.
You're doing good
work. Yeah, I beat every other one.
Thanks for the call.
Thank my balls are no longer proportionate to my wang.
Well, I don't know what that means. What ticket do I buy with that information?
Let's go to Ryan and your Belinda. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, boys and girls.
Hi, Ryan.
What's your way of winning the lottery?
Well, my wife is Hispanic, and it seems that only old white people and Mexicans win the lottery. So I send her into ghetto areas to buy tickets.
So you actually send her to specific locations to buy the tickets from specific stores?
No, not from specific stores, just from kind of a lower income areas.
Just run down areas, because that's where the winners come from.
It seems to you like more people win in those areas?
Yeah, either that or old white people that have a ton of money already.
Yes, we see that a lot, where a 78-year-old will win $100 million. It does seem like a waste. Where's that place, Mike? You'll know. It's like the Bluebird Cafe.
Yeah, the Bluebird, something.
Yeah.
Bluebird Liquor Store or something like that.
Where in Hawthorne or someplace. Yeah, I know. They always have a huge line when the lottery gets high.
Line around the building.
Because
they've
had like one or two winners.
And because they sell so many tickets, I guess there is more of a chance that they'll have a winner, too, because they're selling, you know, 10 times more than the next convenience store, probably.
Thank you, Ryan. Your girlfriend's a very lucky girl. Let's go to Brian in Ontario. Good morning, Brian.
Hey, good morning, ladies and gentlemen.
Hi, Brian.
What's your fail-proof system of winning the lottery?
Come on, I got to have some sort of faith in everybody. No, believe it or not, over the years, before I turned of age of being able to buy the tickets, all the times I went and got Chinese food, you know, these little fortune cookie wrappers inside.
Right.
Sure.
All the good things that I kept, numbers on the back. And then all of a sudden I was like, you know, why don't I just use those for the lottery numbers?
That's what they're there for. That's why they put them on fortune cookies.
Yeah. Okay. And so I've used them, and I've not won anything, but that's pretty much my method.
Do you mind if I ask another question?
Sure.
You save fortune cookie?
Fortunes?
Fortunes? Really?
I'm one of those kind of people where if it's a good thing and it kind of pertains to you, and you know, you might want to keep it for personal incentive or
but
something.
But they're
like
all
that
way. They all say, be careful with your money or good things might happen in the next 10 years.
Yeah, but think of it this way. If I do and those numbers are right, I've already thrown away the fortune. So everyone's going to ask me, why would you want to throw it away if it helps you win millions of dollars?
Okay, well,
That's foolproof logic right there.
Good luck with that. Talking about the Mega Millions tonight, drawing at 8 o'clock. It's $325 million before taxes. What about line 8? We've got Linda. Now, she's using technology. Her boyfriend is using technology to try to win the lottery. I want to find out about that. Hey, Linda.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi.
Your ex-boyfriend, what did he do?
Okay, this was when I was in college back a few years ago, and I found out that the lotto, when people pick auto or they randomly pick it, it's on a logarithm. Mm-hmm. So if you win off of one of those, chances are somebody else is going to win one off of one of those. So I asked him to develop a program for me to have it randomly pick all five numbers completely random without any logarithm, and then have the mega number completely random as well.
So you think that, Linda, you think the computer that spits out the random numbers spits out the same numbers over and over again?
Yeah. I've been told that's what the lotto does. It has a logarithm, but that's just what I've been told.
Okay, so you've determined a way to make it random.
Yeah, he did.
Okay.
So then no one else will have your numbers, probably.
So nobody else would have my numbers.
So when she wins, she doesn't have to split it.
I see. Because
that is the biggest problem.
Okay, and how's
if you win.
And how's that working out for you, Linda?
It hasn't.
Yeah, okay. All right, but good luck with that. Thank you. Let's go to Dale in San Clemente. Good morning, Dale. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, thanks a lot. I have a statistics professor that won the lottery every week.
No way.
Yep.
He was lying to you.
The state paid him.
How much?
What he would do is, for his research, they would pay him to study the lottery statistically, and if any trends ever came up, they would get rid of all the balls and start all over.
Oh, I see. So he was on the payroll, basically. He wasn't winning the lottery.
Yeah, they would pay us to make sure that everything was completely random.
Really? So and if it looked like there was any kind of trend going whatsoever, you would start from scratch again, huh?
Yeah, if there was any kind of, well, we wouldn't, but if there was any kind of, like, a number 11 came up
too many times. Yeah, right.
Well, you know, what you're talking about is exactly what happens in casinos on a hot table, is they replace the dealer, replace the cards, exactly for the same reason.
All right. Thank you for the call, Dale. We appreciate it.
Email from Mark Holmes, who writes this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. And we've said this on the show before, but it bears repeating as you make your selection for numbers tonight. If you want to get a good perspective of how unlikely it is to hit all six numbers in the lottery, think of it this way. Any number combination that you come up with is just as likely to hit as if 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 hit. So if you say no way 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 never hits, well, the answer is yes. And there's no way your six numbers are ever coming up either. That's a good way to kind of put the odds in perspective. Your numbers are as likely as 1 through 6. And if you're willing to take that chance, it's easy to say, hey, it's only $1 or $10 or whatever you're going to spend. And somebody eventually will win.
Ralph in Arleta, I think you have the best plan. Ralph, tell us how you do it.
Hey, good morning, you white devils.
Hi, Ralph.
Well, I'm 26, so I picked the ages of my favorite girls that I banged.
Okay, so the girls you have sex with, you use the ages as the numbers for the lottery.
Yes, but I try to get more numbers, so, you know, I have unlimited numbers.
Sure, of course.
But there's no 1 through 17 on your ticket then?
No, there's only 19. And the highest is 45.
Wow, look at you. How old did you say you were, 26?
Yes.
45, look at that.
Well done.
Well done. Wow.
All right, well, that sounds...
Tell your mom we said hi.
All right.
I'd love to get a copy of that.
All right, let's see. Yesterday we were in trouble with lean like a lavender. So today we've done a press like a honky. Check. Mm-hmm.
Check.
Breed like a Latino.
Right.
Check.
Right.
Drive like an Asian. Check.
Right.
And that brings us to our latest outrage.
I steal like a Negro.
Grab the cash. Punch the clerk. Grab the cash.
I steal like a Negro.
Grab that cash. Punch the clerk and grab the cash.
Said I steal like a Negro.
Grab the cash.
What? The meeting that I was in yesterday, I think they were suggesting we go the other way. I don't think the message was offend more people. I think they were saying
listen,
ixnay on the offensive way.
Listen, Dorothy, you're over the rainbow now, okay? Look, we're going. We're going either way. We might as well go out in a blaze of glory.
We're making sure
in the words of John Bon Jovi.
Nice.
Rather than go out with a whimper, you know? Either way, we're gone. So why not, you know?
Here's the way we look at it.
Guns blazing.
We don't want to let one group take us out. We might as well have everyone gang up.
Right. We don't want to be like Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid at the end when they're facing the Bolivian army and they come out of that church like
Fire!
You just bullet riddled, just corpse.
We're going
on
down
the
either way. We might as well go out in a what'd you call it? A blaze of glory. Absolutely. Fantastic.
So while many people listening have a 3-day weekend ahead of them, we may have a 300-day weekend ahead of us. Yes. That's what you're basically saying.
Yeah, that's all the way right. it goes.
Yeah. Seth Green is here, movie beat next hour, because it's Friday. It's KRQFM Pasadena, Los Angeles, almost 8 o'clock. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what's going on?
I just finally get to start my dream of starting a David Bowie tribute band. So it all works out. All works out at the end. Oh, Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah.
I'm worried about her.
How come?
The good news is she's still in rehab. Remember yesterday, we weren't sure if she was in or out? According to the San Francisco Gate, she is still in rehab. In fact, she's making some steps towards mending fences in her own family. According to the New York Post, her father, Michael, is going to come visit her while she's in treatment. Now, this is a big deal because she's got a restraining order against him.
Lindsay, I'm 500 feet away. How are you?
I think they're going to rescind that order so that he can actually get closer than 500 feet.
Doesn't she kind of blame him for a lot of her problems,
yes.
though, with him leaving their family?
Yes. Yes. So that's going to go well, would you guess?
I don't know. Apparently has found God.
Oh, okay.
He's sobered up his own self.
Okay.
I think the majority of the problem is between him and his wife, Dina, his ex-wife, Dina.
Yeah.
Lindsay's mom. Anyway, this is Michael Jr.'s idea, apparently. He wants to get his sister and his dad together to, reach out and see if there's some healing can be done in that family. So who knows? That might help. We don't know.
Hopefully.
We don't know. That's what I'm saying.
What are you saying?
I'm saying we don't know. More Amy Winehouse news. That circus keeps rolling through town. As you know, she's pulled out of the MTV Video Music Awards in Vegas next week. She also has canceled all of her tours, appearances as well. Now, according to a friend, she is taking some vacation time in the Caribbean with her husband, Blake. Not just to try to get her head together, as the kids say, but because she thinks that having a baby will help the pair put all their troubles behind them. So apparently they're trying to procreate down there in the Caribbean.
Excellent.
That's dumb.
Why,
some people may suggest she might want to stop with the drugs and the alcohol and the cutting of herself before she starts having children. But look.
That's not her way.
And it's not ours to say. There's a lot of different ways you can raise kids. Sometimes you can raise them with cocaine and alcohol and cutting.
I think it's pretty safe to say not the best idea.
Probably not the best way. Yeah. Kevin Federline has finally served a subpoena to Larry Rudolph, his ex's Britney Spears former manager. This is the guy with all the dirt. Apparently, if you want to make Britney look bad in a courtroom when you're trying to get custody of your kids, this is the guy you want to put up on the stand. And Larry knew it was coming. He's been trying to out-finagle and run away from the subpoena server for some time now. He's been hiding out, basically, for weeks, trying to avoid this thing. But E! Online reports they finally caught up with him outside Sunset Tan in West Los Angeles.
You can hide, but, dude, when you need a tan,
yes.
you need a tan.
Look,
you got to come out of hiding.
Yeah. Come on, this is L.A.
You got to get a fake bake once in a while. You
right.
just lose it.
So, it's top-notch gay.
That's where they slapped him with it. So, good news. We'll get to hear what Larry has to say. I wonder if he has anything to say about her new music. Have you heard the new songs that have been leaked?
I can't believe it's real.
From Britney?
It's awful.
It can't be real.
There's two of them I've heard.
I have a clip of the second one that we just heard today.
Yeah, the new one that just came out.
It's not possible it's her, right?
It sounds like her.
She better hope not.
The voice is her. Whether or not this is a phonied up song, I don't know, but the voice is her.
K-Rock listeners, you be the judge.
Touch, 'cause I'm on a fire, baby.
Shut up.
She better hope they can do something with that in the studio. Get some filters on that or something.
Excuse me, but I do believe that sucked ass.
You sure you didn't pull that out of the Bratz animated series? It sounds like a kid's song or something.
You hear the like Star Wars phaser in the background? That's the worst thing I've ever heard.
And she said no to Timbaland, by the way.
First of all, Star Wars had blasters, Mike. Star Trek has phasers.
I apologize.
Whatever.
Get it straight, will you?
Wow.
We got that, I think, from what would Tyler Durden do?
There's the other song, too, that has been out about a
month. It's equally bad.
It's just as bad. So, I mean, I hope.
I have a clip of that if you want to hear it.
Okay.
Chocolate rain. Some stay dry and others feel the pain. Chocolate rain.
I just
wasn't sure that's
I don't even think that sounds like her, to tell you the
truth. I'm pretty sure that that's not her.
That's not her?
Yeah. Right. Never gets old, though, playing songs that aren't people and saying this
Not to us.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Maybe we deserve to be fired. Maybe management's right and we're wrong. I'm offended
by that. I am this close to writing a strongly worded letter.
I'm offended by that hoary old dusty bit that you guys keep doing over and over and over again. I'm offended by that.
I will laugh on my deathbed at that.
I would like to see that soon. Yeah. And they're giving us another dancing show.
Oh, good.
Over there on ABC.
Excellent.
You know, Dancing with the Stars is a big hit over there for them.
Yeah.
Sure.
So they're busting out another dance contest show that will run the same time as Dancing with the Stars.
What?
You mean?
It's called Dance War. Bruno versus Carrie Ann.
Oh, is that where she went?
Yeah.
What do you mean Bruno versus Carrie Ann? Who are those people?
The judges.
You don't know Bruno Tonioli Olio?
No.
And Carrie Ann Inaba?
No.
Dancing with the Star judges.
Oh, they're the judges for
that
show?
From Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, I don't watch that
show. So they're splitting off into their own show. And they are going to have a performer's audition from New York, Nashville, and Los Angeles. And they are going to separately put together the ultimate dance team. And then the teams will battle. And you will see which team wins. It's not solo dancers anymore, man. It's the teams.
Why would they leave Dancing with the Stars, practically the number one show on television?
Because now they're going to have their dance war with their teams.
Wow.
That's a great idea.
Drew Lachey is going to host.
Wow.
Good times.
That show's got everything.
We mock, but we are wrong most of the time.
We are wrong almost all the time when it comes to TV.
It's not like we can leave radio for TV now, because TV's even worse.
It is. I'm offended all the time.
I'm going to have to start writing novels or something. I got no hope. No hope.
Well, you got the Bowie cover band, at least.
I do have the Bowie tribute band. I'll be working on it, yeah. It's called Station to Station. That's our name.
It's not a good name.
No? Ziggy Fodust?
Yes.
Is that better?
Much better.
Yeah. Today's celebrity birthday is Richard Gere. You know him. He's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
You know him. Remember when he kissed that Indian broad? Everybody got upset?
Sure.
Yes.
Freaking Muslims.
Ralph, you saw him in The Hoax this year. He was very good in that film.
Brilliant. I loved that movie. Loved it a lot. He is 58 years old today. Deborah Gibson.
Yeah.
You used to know her as Debbie back in the 80s.
Yep.
She's 37 years old today. And Chris Tucker, who really only has to make a Rush Hour movie every couple of years and just... They just back up a pickup truck full of 20s at his house and just dump it off.
Spends the rest of his life in his house hiding from people.
It's pretty spectacular. Maybe he's trying to avoid a subpoena from Kevin Federline. Maybe that's what he's doing. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
A trillion is more than a billion, numbnuts.
All right, zip it.
You can't even...
Zip it.
Look.
When a problem comes along, you must zip it. Zip it good.
Back off my jock, okay, dinkus? Dinkus?
In reality, it's more like she was obsessed with this.
Hey, you know what? Keep dreaming, Seth. Keep dreaming.
I had enough people come up to me, ask me to do the voice.
Yeah, yeah. And they also have an Orange Julius. Just trying to keep the conversation going.
What do you want from me, you beaver? What, an autograph? A headshot? Well, unless you can trade me a clean cup of urine, you can forget it.
Would you stop?
How about an hour?
How about a what?
How about an hour?
Honestly, isn't this...
How about you do, ladies and gentlemen, Scotty Dude?
What about actor Seth Green back on the Kevin Bean Show at the world-famous K-Rock with Season 2 Uncensored of his hit series Robot Chicken coming out this Tuesday in stores? Seth, welcome. How are you, man?
Hey, Seth.
I'm great. Thanks.
Excuse me, Emmy-nominated Seth Green? Is that what your people told us we have to call you now?
Well, that's what happened, yeah.
They did tell us
I'm having my name officially changed on my driver's license.
To Emmy-nominated?
Uh-huh.
That's it. Not Seth, just Emmy-nominated.
Exactly.
How much of a surprise was that phone call, or how does that even work? I mean, you kind of know you're being. You submit something to the Academy for them to consider, right?
Yeah, but
do you ever know anything from that point to the point where they call and tell you you're nominated?
No, it's about as shocking as you calling me and saying, "Oh my gosh, Seth, I'm pregnant."
So,
I thought the odds were about the same.
And What did you say? I mean, how did they?
Well, my partner that I created and produced the show with called me, and I was half asleep, and he goes, "So we got nominated for an Emmy," and I was like, "For what?" And he said, "For the show, for outstanding animated program." I was like, "Our show? Our 15-minute ad-sponsored cable show? Really? What are we up against?"
What are you up against?
South Park and The Simpsons.
Well, no problem there.
No, right, no pressure.
Those guys have a track record of failure, so.
Not Family Guy? You're not up against yourself?
There was a really awkward moment where we went to do a live Family Guy show in Montreal. And all the people that work on Family Guy were like, "Hey, thanks for taking our Emmy slot, jerk."
Ooh. Oh, nice.
Yeah. But then they patted me on the back and, you know, put me through a smacking machine. So it really wasn't as bad as I thought.
I just know, because we've talked to you about Robot Chicken since before it went on the air, that every time we see you, you are shocked that it still finds a place that will air it, much less be praised the way it has been.
It is exciting the way that people have reacted to it, because it feels very personal. It feels like something that wouldn't necessarily reach a broad audience. But I found like a wide variety of people are reacting to it. Specifically, every time I go to an airport, the TSA people, regardless of their age, gender, sexual orientation,
is that right?
Yeah, ethnic background, they are like, "Hey, Robot Chicken." And I'm like, "Really? What are you?" Really? You look at least 70 and clearly African American. So I wouldn't have expected that the She-Ra episode would vibe with you, dude.
Maybe it's in the TSA break room or something, you know?
It might be.
Send out the DVDs.
That might be what they're watching on those monitors at the airport.
Now, I understand
you thought it was X-rays.
Instead of your stuff.
Yeah, it's not X-rays. We know that.
This season 2 DVD that comes out on Tuesday, I understand there is a ton of stuff that didn't make the show. And that was curious to me, because I wouldn't imagine, with as much material as you guys have to come up with, that there would be a lot left over that you would have to share on the DVD.
Well, there's two things. First of all, the running time of the show is between 11 and 12 minutes. So we always make editorial cuts just for time. But also, we keep the show really quickly paced. So anything that isn't playing or that compromises the speed or the movement of the show, we just cut it out.
That's why I like it, because it does move very, very quickly.
Yeah. I mean, we've done a lot. We're getting into the third season now, and it's just starting to air. And we've tried to be a little bit more experimental with the format, tried to do some more storytelling sketches and some stuff that just – it varies. But I don't think it's compromising the speed or watchability
of it. The ADD-ness of it.
I mean, it's – you know.
Which is what it's built on.
If you don't have 12 minutes to sit and watch something, then you really are moving too fast.
Seriously.
Is the excellent Star Wars episode, is that still the personal high water mark for you, or is there something else that sticks out so far?
That's pretty outrageous getting to pull
that's
that
the big
off.
One.
Yeah.
Man.
I mean, it doesn't – that was the most – wow, is this really happening moment.
Yeah. We saw that in the news. We were like, no, that can't be. We got to get Seth and talk to him about that. That's not possible.
It was crazy.
Well, Robot Chicken Season 2 Uncensored comes out on DVD on Tuesday, and you have commentary. You have...
Yeah, it's everything. I mean, we're all DVD fans, so we try to pack our DVD with the stuff that we'd want to watch, and there's a lot of, you know, behind-the-scenes technical information. There's a bunch of EPKs. There's a lot of fun stuff that happens in the office that we film. I mean, we shoot the show for almost a year. So the process, everybody just really gets to know each other, and you see us all going crazy over that year.
That'd be interesting.
It's all well documented.
Yeah.
Hey, Seth, I got a question for you that I hope you'll take in the spirit in which it's intended.
All right.
And that is, if people don't watch the Cartoon Network, and there are, let's face it, that's most television watchers don't watch the Cartoon Network, do they run into you and go, "Wow, Seth Green, you used to work. Whatever happened to you?" If you're not in something big enough that catches their attention, does that happen?
You know, from time to time, people don't know that I'm making this show and want to know why I'm not working on more feature films, but no one's really rude about it like you. Sweetie.
I would be.
That's how he'd say it, yeah.
Look, it doesn't count unless it's something that I watch.
No,
all right?
To tell you the truth, people approach me about all sorts of stuff. Just by the nature of having worked for so long and having done a lot of things, people kind of approach me about all different things. So
what's
never
the most?
Really...
Scott Evil?
You know, in the last... year it has been this show.
Fantastic.
It's really bizarre. Yeah, that and like I said, a variety of people. I had like a 9-year-old kid come up to me and start chanting the closing credits, and I had a 70-plus black dude come up and be like, "I love Robot Chicken."
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
It was crazy.
I'm going to start doing my own survey when I go to an airport. I'm going to ask the TSA guys. Robot Chicken Watcher? Okay. Fantastic.
It's a good idea.
You can let me through.
All right. Get Season 2 on DVD, and Season 3 is on the air now at 11:30 Saturday through Wednesday on the Cartoon Network's Adult Swim. Seth, stick around. We got to take a break, and we'll come back with more right after this on the Wolf Famous K-Rock.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:32.
Gave it away, man. Did I was waiting to find out.
Oh,
you
just, I'm sorry.
You're a spoiler. That's what you are.
I'm just making a
Seth
suggestion.
Seth Green just told me that the package in the R. Kelly chapters 13 through 22 is age.
Well, that's just my hypothesis. It may not be accurate. I think he's waiting to make a decision.
That never dawned on
me. He sees the sales of
the gay guy coughing in the hospital. He's got the package. Never dawned on me that that's what it might be.
He's got the package.
Seth is here.
Package.
Robot Chicken Season 2 Uncensored comes out in
Lucius off
in stores on Tuesday.
And Rosie the Nosy Neighbor's husband, her beleaguered husband.
Randolph. Yeah. Hoping a dog would poop in her eye. That's good stuff.
That right there. A pigeon poops in her eye, not a dog. What, have any flying dogs in your neighborhood, Kevin?
R. Kelly just gives us all hope.
Yeah. I apologize.
All right, now listen up, you guys, because we have a very, very, very busy half hour straight ahead here. I'm warning our affiliate in Jordan that we may be running late today because Pete Carroll, the head coach of your USC Trojans, that kicks off their football season tomorrow. We have him on the show in about 10 minutes or so. We have more tickets for the K-Rock LA Invasion that you can win on the way
right now, though. I have a lot to say.
It's Seth Friday. Seth has a lot to say, and Ralph is here with the Movie Beat.
Emmy nominated, Seth.
In movie a world, beat. Someone has been watching one man who risked everything.
I'm sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies, no matter where he turns, there's just no escaping his destiny. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Hey, boys and girls, it's about 11 new movies in Southland Cineplexes this week, and none of which I've seen, so let me review some of my favorites for you, shall I?
All right.
We don't have much time, so I'm just going to hit on a few of these. You see anything good, Seth? You get to see all the advanced screenings and stuff, right?
I haven't seen it.
No? We've got a movie called Freshman Orientation coming out.
Oh, wait, that's not true. I saw Superbad, and I really liked it.
Superbad's funny.
That was funny, wasn't it?
No.
Selected theaters this weekend. It's about a guy who's trying to insinuate his way into a female sorority, so he plays like he's a gay guy.
Well, that's fresh.
That's fresh as today's headlines.
I think I saw that movie with Ryan Reynolds and Harlan Williams.
Yeah, I think so, too. Sam Huntington and Marla Sokolov star. I love Marla Sokolov.
Oh, she's... Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's dynamite. Yeah. So you can check that out. Also opening this weekend, Death Sentence. It's Kevin Bacon's turn to play vigilante in the movie.
This is the follow-up to Footloose?
It is, yes. He's so pissed off that he can't dance, he starts shooting people. No, actually, he turns a vigilante after his eldest son is killed in a gang initiation ritual. Apparently, they were flashing their headlights at him and he turned them on or something.
Yeah, he's not happy.
Anyway, he goes off the deep end and basically it's Death Wish all over again. A lot of Death Wish kind of movies coming out this year.
Yeah.
You got this one, and then you got Jodie Foster in The Brave One, where she's off in minorities left and right. So you can check that out if you're so inclined. Here's a scene where Bill Darley, the character, played by Garrett Hedlund, is threatening Kevin Bacon and his family. This is one of the gang dudes that's responsible for his eldest son's death.
I'm coming for some family.
No.
You listen to me. You go near my family, and I will cut out your guts.
Do you hear me?
And I'm coming for the rest of your family. You just bought them a death sentence. Wait.
Is that David Caruso?
A little bit.
Just lowering his sunglasses.
Who's writing with a Sharpie during that whole scene? What's that about?
So they were giving him his cue cards. They're telling him what to say on the phone. No, I'm kidding.
I don't know what that was. It was
I
weird.
Will cut out your guts. Is that guts? Is that a T? I don't know what that says.
What does that mean? I'll cut out your glutes.
Gub. Is it an N or a B? So, but the good news is Kevin Bacon's invisible, so he can take off his face and then no one can see him.
No, that was just Hollow Man. That's not in different. Real life, Ralph. I'm sorry.
That would come in handy if
altogether.
It was the case.
Would, yeah.
Halloween also opens this weekend. We just talked to Rob Zombie, director, reimaginer of the Halloween series. It's Michael Myers. We get to see all the bad stuff that turned him into the fun-loving holiday icon that he is today. Apparently, Malcolm McDowell stars as the loony psychiatrist who was responsible for straightening Michael out. Remember in the original series with Donald Pleasance? He was a scary dude.
It's awesome.
Here's a little scene from Halloween. A girl asking if that was the boogeyman, thinking that she got away after Mike Myers has paid her a visit.
Was that the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, I do believe it was.
Ah! Ah! Ah!
Is that when he comes in with, I'm your boogeyman?
Yeah.
That song?
That's what I am.
That's Scary Movie 5, I think you're thinking of.
With Mr. Zombie earlier today, he said it's just a good old-fashioned scary movie. Not a gory movie, but a scary movie. And that's one of the things I think, you know, we haven't had many of those this year. Yeah, everything else has just been all blood and guts.
But Rob Zombie's version of not gory rest of our version of what's not gory could be very different.
It can't be as bad as, was it Saw 2 or Saw 3 that just came out where they cut a woman's head off and played soccer with it?
That was Hostel, by the way.
Hostel.
Yeah. I missed that one.
That's good times right there.
I don't have a stomach for that kind of stuff.
They're trying to reinvigorate kids' interest in physical fitness.
I forgot to mention it was kids that were playing soccer with it.
Oh, was?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well.
I guess this
is. That's right. That's part of the presidential fitness program.
Obesity is on the rise. Let's play with this head.
And lastly, it opened on Wednesday. I can't believe Kevin hasn't seen it already.
Me either.
Balls of Fury, the hilarious ping pong movie. This is basically like a Bruce Lee movie, but instead of hand-to-hand combat, it's ping pong.
Yeah. Fantastic, right?
I see a straight line to success.
Who's with me? Chris, am I the only one excited about this movie?
I'm going to let you
hands.
Go and
Show
let
hands.
Me know.
Seth, no?
I saw it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
And?
It's very silly.
He didn't mention it when you asked if he saw anything lately.
Super bad. I saw that.
No, you said good. Anything good. You said good.
Oh, that's right. I'm not crap talking Balls of Fury. I love the guys that Tom Lennon and
Tom Lennon, those guys.
Right.
Yeah,
it's funny.
That's a separate issue.
I'm in.
You got Walken as like the grandmaster of the whole thing, right? You got that?
Yeah, totally.
He's good. Walken,
he is. I've never seen him give a bad performance.
That's true.
All right. Let me put it another way.
Better than others.
Seth is dancing right now.
Do you wish that you had been in this one?
No.
Okay. There you go. Say no more.
Here's a scene between, we were just talking about Thomas Lennon, one of the guys responsible for creating this movie, so take that for what it's worth. Talking to Dan Fogler, who of
he's
course,
hilarious, by
he's
the way.
He's the lead in the show. He's the the new fat man apparent for the comedy world. He's the new guy who's going to take over. Now that Farley's gone, the rest of
picking up where John Belushi left off.
Exactly. He plays Randy Daytona, who is the American candidate in this fight to the death ping pong battle. Please enjoy.
Tell them that the reason that you hate me so much is because I had sex with your mother.
My mother died when I was 2. I hardly knew her.
Yeah, I know. It's a horrible thing to say. And yet these things that I say over and over again, I do not mean them. Because in truth, you are the greatest player I have ever seen. Other than myself, practicing in front of a mirror, which I do every day in the nude.
In the nude. Come on.
He's very funny.
People? Yeah. Don't look at me like that, Ralph.
Kevin, we're not saying you can't go.
Ralph see. Is. Ralph's saying it with his eyes.
I'm saying go. I'm saying enjoy.
We're saying go. We're saying stay. Both.
So Balls of Fury, you can check that out with Kevin this weekend.
Join millions of teenagers across the country.
That's right.
And before we wrap up the movie, but I just wanted one more time, Seth Green, Robot Chicken Season 2, uncensored. And you can also watch it on Cartoon Network's Adult Swim at 11:30 on Saturday through Wednesday nights. And you can get
It is my favorite comedy on television right now using Mego action figures. I can say that with that 100%.
Thanks for qualifying that.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for coming in, Seth. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys.
I'm Ralph Garman, the movie.
Oh, yeah. I thought we were just going to go out.
Yeah, we should. Like...
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie Beat.
You know, it's funny, Kevin. People around the country, they talk to us and they say, guys, you don't have a pro football team out there in Southern California. That's got to suck for you. We say, but we do. They're just called the USC Trojans, ladies and gentlemen. And the action kicks off again tomorrow out at the Coliseum against Idaho. Please welcome one of the greatest head coaches in the history of the game, Pete Carroll, joins us on the Kevin and John K-Rock. Good morning, Mr. Carroll. How are you, Coach?
Good morning. What's up, guys?
Well, we're delighted to have you. This must be, even with all the preparation, the hard work you've already put into the preseason, I mean, you got to have a little bit of butterflies, a little bit of excitement thinking about tomorrow, huh?
Sure you do, yeah. You wouldn't be normal if you didn't have a little bit of that. You know, there's always a little mystery here, so we can figure out what it is and see if we can handle it and have a good opening game.
I got to tell you, it's hard enough to become successful as a coach, but to do what you've done at USC, and, you know, ESPN's named USC the number one team of the decade. You've set all kinds of national records. You've won championships. You're almost screwed in the effect that if you don't win a championship, no one's impressed at all.
Well, that's okay.
You know, that's okay.
We're lucky to be in the situation where we have expectations like that, but it's not a bad thing.
I'm just saying, though, you're a victim of your success at this point because you kind of have to run the table. and make it to the championship game. Otherwise, it's kind of a below par season for you.
Well, I don't know, man. The expectations that we have are we're lucky to have them, and it's fun to be sitting in this spot. And then you got to go ahead and go about it in a way that allows you to play at your best and not get screwed up by everything, and you know, and get caught up in all the hype and all that. And it's a little different challenge than some other programs have. But man, I love it.
Is that one of the biggest challenges that you have? Is the mental game of the team?
Well, it is a tremendous part of it. Now, we have potentially a really good club, and that doesn't mean we know that we can win all our games or not, but we have a really good team, and we can do a lot of good things, but we have to keep things in perspective, and you got to stay healthy at the right spots and the right times, and there's a lot that goes into it other than, you know, it doesn't just automatically happen. For sure.
No, I know.
You know, I used to get so nervous, Coach, when USC would lose a player like, you know, like a Matt Leinart or a Reggie Bush or something. I used to think, oh, man, the run is over now. That's the end. But now with the recruiting and with, you know, so many people wanting to play for you, I guess there's, you know, if there's new talent out there, you're able to find it, right?
Well, we have a chance, guys. You know, kids around the country are at least they're listening and they know about us and they know of the guys that have been here before and the good positive stories about guys coming from out of the area and the local kids as well. So we have a real good shot to get them, and it gives us a chance. You know, they're excited about this opportunity to come play in this program. And also, if we do keep doing things right, we have a shot at it anyway.
I know that you can't possibly pay attention to the next question, but you're favored by 46 points. I mean, it's crazy to win by 30. You don't cover the spread, you know. I mean, that's
like you said. I'm not paying attention to that question.
Your players, though, must. I mean, they must see that you're 46 point favorites over the Vandals, the Idaho Vandals, this weekend.
Well,
is it difficult to get them?
You'd be surprised. Those things about points and all stuff. Those aren't in our conversation at all. And maybe somebody knows about it. And yeah, we're favored, and we should be favored. But there's the numbers and the spreads and all that stuff. We don't know much about that. And then really, it doesn't even matter. You know, right now, we're just trying to get out there and get on the field and get lined up for calisthenics and the whole thing, you know, and then go play the first game and get started. And there's so much more at hand right now than worrying about who you're playing and what, you know, where they come from and all that. We have to get ready to go and get the season underway. So there's plenty to keep us focused.
This is Coach Pete Carroll. You're listening to on the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ. He, of course, is the head coach for USC, kicking off their season tomorrow night at the L.A. Coliseum. What are you guys drawing now? Over 90,000 a game on average for these, right, Coach?
Yeah, we averaged over 92,000 last year for the first time in the history of the program. You know, every seat was sold out for the year, and plan on that, you know, having a shot at doing that again, which is really exciting and fun. And the whole atmosphere around the Coliseum on game day is crazy, and it's the way college football should be, so we're very fortunate.
Do you have, I don't know how much time you have to follow the pros, but do you keep track of your guys? I mean, like, how thrilled were you to see the year that Reggie Bush had last year?
Oh, yeah, we do the best we can at keeping track of it, and of course the kids call in and stuff, and then we're always, you know, we got one ear on it just to follow what's happening. Like last night, Oscar Lua, a linebacker who left and is at the Patriots, you know, he started his first game ever in the NFL. And, you know, we get all those little tidbits and stuff. It's really fun to keep track of them. Reggie had an extraordinary year with a team that had an extraordinary season. So it's all very, you know, we're very lucky to get to see Leinart get cranked up as the starter for the year, you know. And there's just a lot of cool stories out there.
You have to always feel like that dad who's sending his children off into the world, and you just gotta, you know, train them the best you can, and just wish them well.
Yeah, it does feel a little bit like that. You know, we feel a little bit of responsibility for how they play still. You know, and we go up and down as they go up and down. It's very cool, and the kids are so grateful too that, you know, they call back, they check in with us, let us know their stories, and keeps us connected with it all.
Do you think you'd ever want to coach in the NFL again?
No, you know, I've done that a lot. You know, I was there for 16, 17 years, whatever the heck it was, and I know how the league works and understand it, and I love the NFL. It was really fun and all, but there's nothing to compare to what we're doing right now. This is an extraordinary situation and an extraordinary opportune time, and there's nothing like it. So I'm so happy to be here and having fun here, and this is all I need to keep me going.
What's the difference at the college level from the pro level? Is it mainly just money?
There's a lot of subtleties, you know, to it. There's a lot of things that are the same. They have kind of different issues, you know, whereas we have recruiting and academics, you know, they've got the draft and free agency, and But there's still the same kind of time frames and the same expectations of working towards, you know, figuring those things out.
Right.
The players are just a little older. They're the same guys. People always forget that. They're the same guys that we coach. They're just older. After about 6 or 7 years, probably the biggest factor, I think, is after about 6 or 7 years in the league, they figure out that they have an opinion of what, you know, what that's really important. And so you have to deal with them as they grow up. But other than that, those kids, the guys in the NFL love to play just like the college kids do. And for the most part, it's very similar.
I know we're almost out of time, Coach, but I've always wanted to ask this question. I don't think I ever have. How much conversation is there among your players, many of whom believe that they're headed for the NFL? A lot of people put their eggs in one basket, especially if they're a superstar player on a team like yours. They got to feel like, yeah, that's going to be my future. And in reality, very few players can make that transition. It must be something you have to keep an eye on to make sure they got their heads on straight.
Yeah, well, all the guys are living that dream. You know, I would say almost 100% of them are living the dream of playing on and having a chance to play in the pros. And I don't blame them one bit for thinking that. I mean, I totally understand what they're going through. But there is a reality to it. And, you know, we have so many guys that have come from the NFL, and we have so much familiarity with how difficult it is to make it, that we try to be real, you know, real clear about how hard it is and what a jump it's going to be, and so that they, you know, they have a reality sense. But still, the kids live the dream, you know. And so it's an ongoing issue for us. And fortunately, all of our guys get a chance to play in the NFL, and if they have the right stuff, then they make it and they get a little bit of career there that gets things started. But it certainly isn't for the rest of your life. That's for sure.
You're right about that, Coach. Well, we couldn't be more excited about the game, LA Coliseum tomorrow night. Of course, we gave away a bunch of tickets on K-Rock this week, and if you were lucky enough to win those, don't forget, we do have a K-Rock tailgate party in the parking lot that you can look for ahead of the game, and it's at 7:15. Who airs that game for folks who aren't going? Where can we watch that one, Coach?
I don't know. I don't even know. All I know is Petros Papadakis is doing the game. I don't know what channel he's on.
Probably Fox Sports then, yeah.
Let's be honest, it doesn't matter what channel he's on. He's Petros. You can hear him on anything.
That's right. He is that loud. That's true. Yeah, Pete's the one guy who doesn't have to worry about when the games are on TV, I guess. He's pretty much going to be there. All right, Coach, have a fantastic season, man. Thank you for joining us at the Kevin and Bean Show.
Thanks for the time. See
thanks.
You.
Bye now.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. I know we're running a little bit late. We're getting away some tickets to the K-Rock LA Invasion just after the top of the hour with a new game, and you know how well those go. At 1-800-520-1067.
Best game ever.
Yesterday we were a little babyish and whining a lot about our management coming down on us. So today we've determined pretty much to just offend everybody. So we had a press like a honky.
Mm-hmm.
And we had breed like a Latino. We had drive like an Asian. We had steal like a Negro. This is save like a Hebrew.
I save like a Hebrew.
Run and hide. Grab that nickel. Run and hide.
I save like a Hebrew.
Run and hide. Grab a nickel. Run and hide.
I save like a Hebrew.
There you go.
You know, we actually did get an email yesterday with all the controversy about the groups that were offended from somebody complaining that we really were going light on the Jews. Like, what's up with you guys? Very, very little against the Jews. So we're trying to make up for that and try to get everybody excited about that today. So
why was Ed Wynn singing the song?
Not sure.
It's a good
question. I sang like a Hebrew.
I didn't even know Ed Wynn was Jewish.
It's a good question. It's 9:02 KRQ FM Pasadena, Los Angeles for Friday. Ralph's got our final look at the showbiz beat. What's going on?
This Nicole Kidman seems like a pretty straight up broad, doesn't she?
She does.
Yeah.
She
seems
apparently
cool.
On the film of her new, excuse me, on the set of her new film, she They bring this coffee card around. Sometimes you'll see on movie sets the Starbucks people, whatever, will bring a card around. You go up and you pay $27 for a latte or something.
Right.
It just keeps
right.
Morale up on the set because you don't have to drink that really crappy craft service coffee, whatever, it's been sitting there all day long.
Right.
So they had this coffee card that kept showing up on the set of her new movie. And Nicole paid for the coffee cart for 200 cast and crew since the shooting began on the film. Out of her own pocket.
No kidding.
No just said,
kidding.
Run me a tab. Whatever people want from this thing, they can have, and it's all on me.
Wow.
It came to $14,000 per week.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
That's a lot of coffee and crawlers right there.
Those people need to cut back a bit.
Apparently. Well, look, sometimes you're shooting 14, 18-hour days. That's all
wow.
That keeps you going is the caffeine. But she said, no problem. It's just put it on my tab. I'll take care of it all. That's a nice little treat for people who are working for her.
Very.
It's wow. A way to get the hearts and minds of your crew with you.
Yeah. Although the way her movies have been doing at the box office lately, she may not be able to afford that much longer.
How dare you,
I'm
sir.
I'm just saying.
I mean, the invasion didn't,
well, didn't set the world on fire. Yeah. Latest in a long line of maybe disappointment for her.
Mandy Moore.
Oh, I love her.
A lot of rumors swirling around the fact that she has a diamond ring on the third finger of her left hand.
Oh, suicide watch for Dave.
You know what that means, don't you, ladies?
King of Mexico.
What?
Engagement.
To whom?
Well, that's the thing. They asked her, and she said, no, it's just a ring I picked up for myself. I just like to wear it on that finger.
Just to screw with
you? Because I guess I'm engaged to myself.
Oh.
It's not a bad engagement, really.
Like, good choice on her part.
Yeah. Sure.
It's me. She's engaged to me.
Wouldn't that be funny?
Didn't want to tell anybody.
It'd be funny if we found out it was Dave the King of Mexico and they were getting married.
I don't think he knows Mandy Moore exists anymore, that Kristen Bell has called him twice.
I was thinking the same thing.
Sent him some flowers.
That's true.
I don't think he really is in the Mandy Moore tip any longer. Although I caught her over the weekend recently on the television. They showed that American Dreams movie with Hugh Grant.
Yes.
The satire, political satire about American Idol.
Yeah.
And Dennis Quaid plays a Bush-like president who has no clue what's going on.
Right.
It's very funny, and she's very good in it, so it just made me think of that. Speaking of TV, are you guys watching Mad Men? Are you watching Mad Men on AMC?
I am.
It's great.
I'm taping, and I haven't watched an episode yet.
You haven't watched one?
Oh, nope. My God.
I've been taping them the whole time. I just haven't.
Last night's episode, best yet. Best by far.
Fantastic.
Yeah. I don't want to ruin it for you.
That's all right.
But you're not going to ruin it for Kevin.
But you'll forget all about it by the time you watch it.
He's never going to watch it.
But there's two guys who work in an office together. One guy gets cheesed off basically at the other guy, his boss, basically for hitting on his wife.
Mm-hmm.
And so he orchestrates this elaborate plan that forces him to projectile vomit in front of clients during a meeting. And it's spectacular.
Oh,
it's on
God.
TV. You could see that.
Good times.
Television.
Yes, right. On television. That's right, Rodney. And Kevin Federline has finally gotten to the guy he wants. Britney Spears' ex-manager, Larry Rudolph. This is the guy he wanted to testify in this case where he was trying to get custody of his children.
I didn't realize he was the mother load. He was the...
He is her very close friend, has been with her for a long, long time, and that's where all the dirt is. He has said earlier this week he did not want to testify against his former client, so he's been ducking the subpoena service for some time now. He's been hiding out, basically.
Which works, by the way. As long as you can avoid him, you're fine.
If you don't accept that subpoena, if they don't get to you, then you don't have to show up.
It's really bizarre.
Unfortunately, Bean needs to talk now.
I'm not clear on how the subpoenas work. You guys are saying that you don't have to touch it, doesn't have to be handed to you? Then why do people take it to the person who's being served in person? Why don't they just drop it off their office?
No,
or something.
No, we're saying you do.
You do
have
to be served in purpose.
That's what
so
I thought.
We're saying if you can avoid it, you don't have to go to court.
If you can be avoid being cornered by the subpoena servers, then you don't have to show up. That's what we're saying.
Because that one in the Britney case that you're talking about, that one girl, that one assistant said, "Oh, I didn't touch it."
Yeah, and she did. She lied.
She did touch it.
Yes.
Okay.
I think she misunderstood the whole thing.
But thanks, though. Thanks for that.
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
Thanks for the off-ramp on that comedy freeway.
I'm not trying to intercept the comedy. I'm just trying to understand the story. I apologize.
Well,
he closed the freeway. It wasn't just an off-ramp.
It was a sig alert.
You're now in the 91.
That was a jackknife comedy tractor trailer right there.
Forgive me for just wanting clarification so I wasn't falling behind on the story.
Well, how is your lack of understanding of the Judas priest system.
That's what it's called.
Jurisprudence, I think.
That was that. An official emergency to make me stop this.
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
Can't you
ask now
me
Ralph will say something funny.
Send me an email or look it up on Wikipedia or something if you have any questions.
We'll fix that in post.
It's only 8 after 9, so it's time to take a timeout so Bean can learn more about it.
We'll edit that right out before it gets on the air.
What are you saying?
It is a wonder.
For more information
to
about
this show,
how the legal system works, go to your local library. Learn more about it. I am Bean Baxter.
Shut up, Bean!
Oh, come on.
No kidding.
Anyway. Oh,
it doesn't matter.
I effing hate you all. I hope they fire us. We deserve it. I'm so fed up.
Just based on the showbiz alone.
I'm so fed up with this whole thing. Happy birthday, Richard Gere. You're 58.
Gerbil.
Deborah Gibson. Remember her?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
She was a big hit in the 80s. Not so much anymore.
No.
But she's 37. That's got to be good for something. A free meal at Denny's.
Maybe.
And Chris Tucker with his monster movie hit Rush Hour 3. Currently in theaters. He's 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, and this is the final.
Smashing Pumpkins, Foo Fighters, Velvet Revolver, Kid Rock, Chris Cornell, Cypress Hill, Satellite Party, Hot Hot Heat, Against Me, and Paramore. That is the big lineup. 2 weeks from tomorrow, it's the K-Rock LA Invasion 2007 at the Honda Pavilion, right? Honda Center.
No, it's Home Depot.
Home Depot Center. There you go. Got it.
What the hell? You've been talking about this show for 3 weeks.
I'm just saying there's so many venues, it's tough to keep them all straight. But it's at the Home Depot. Anyway, of course, you can't win them any other time except on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to give you a chance right now with a new game I can't believe we're calling Name That Foo.
Foo, 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 foo,
Can you name that foo? Foo, 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 foo. Can you name that foo? Foo, 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 foo. Can you name that foo? Foo, 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 foo. Can you name that foo? Now it's time to play Can You Name That Foo? All you need to do is name the famous foo, and you can win a pair of tickets to K-Rock's L.A. Invasion. Name that foo!
Good morning, Ralph Garman.
It's like it's a small world.
Mm-hmm.
This is how it kind of vibe to it. That's going to be in your head forever.
This is how it begins in the office. Somebody throws out a really bad idea, like let's have people name that foo.
It's great.
Now wait a minute, and then foo will be in all the answers, right? And then people start throwing out possibilities, and we go, hey, that sounds like it might work. It's not gonna, but it sounded like it at the time.
It's going to be awesome. It's the latest and greatest in a long line of games from the Kevin and Bean Show.
A long line of games that only get played once, by the way.
That's how good it is.
A board game version.
Yeah, they should have a board game version.
All right, so. Tony's going to start in Paramount. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning, Kevin, from Kevin and Bean Show. Other one, Lisa May as well.
Hi.
Hey, Tony.
Well done, Tony.
Listen, Tony, the game is very simple. You have to name that foo. We're going to give you a question, and the answer will have foo in it as a tribute to our pals, Foo Fighters, who are, of course, playing in the concert.
Okay.
So each simple answer enough. Has F-O-O. Here we go.
Or F-U, or just okay. Foo. Just don't over-explain. Don't be helpful. Foo. Don't be on my side
right,
to Tom. Help. This popular tabletop game gets its name from the German word for football and first appeared in the late 1880s.
German game.
It's a tabletop game, popular game, gets its name from the German word for football.
Foosball?
Foosball's correct,
nicely done.
Tony!
Yes!
Yeah.
You going to the drawing? Hold on. Thank
See,
you.
See, foo was right there in foosball.
Gotcha.
Don't over-explain the game, Ralph.
All right.
All right. Let's go to Ryan in Woodland Hills. Good morning, Ryan.
What's going on, man?
113 degrees in your neighborhood today, Ryan.
I'm melting.
Good times.
Yeah. Here's your question, Ryan. This flat wooden planked bed comes from Japan, but it's more likely to be seen in a drunken dude's dorm room.
I knew the last one.
You knew the last one. Do you know this one?
This one's yours.
It's really more relevant.
Can you say it again?
This flat wooden planked bed comes from Japan, but it's more likely to be seen in a drunken dude's dorm room.
Flavio.
Flavio?
He said no idea.
I think he said no idea is what he
foo
said.
Foo is he would be in the answer. So bad.
Yeah, half the word.
Yeah. Futon.
Futon.
Futon is what we're looking for.
Oh, that's a flat wooden planked bed. The futon.
We were very happy with that one yesterday. Yeah. All right. Anthony and Carson, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing, Lisa May?
Good.
Anthony, this Chinese martial art became the craze in America in the 1970s. Had a TV series hit of the same name.
Hey! Kung Fu.
Kung Fu!
Nice
right.
Done! Two people go into the drawing. All right, let's go to Jennifer in Los Angeles. Good morning, Jennifer.
Hey, guys.
Jennifer, this supposed health food is made by coagulating soy milk, then pressing the resulting curds into blocks. Tofu. Yum!
Tofu.
Tofu is correct.
Nicely done.
Foo, right there in the name.
The kids are on a roll now. I think they're starting to get the hang of this one, Ralph.
All Andrew right. In Redondo Beach. Good morning.
Morning.
Andrew, this hardcore band, best known for their dedication to touring, came out of the Washington, D.C. punk scene and is probably best known for their song, Waiting Room.
It's coming. I know this one.
It's got foo in it.
Punk band out of D.C., Waiting Room.
Radio. You know what? If you know it, go ahead and share the answer with us, and then we'll put you in the drawing.
I'm trying to figure it out, but I can't. I knew all the other ones.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't help you right now. Hardcore punk band.
DC.
Fugazi.
Yes! Nice! Yes! Nice!
Yes! Nice! 1/100th of a second away from the buzzer,
nice!
By the way. You have no idea how close you were. Well done.
Pulled it out.
Wow, that was a surprise.
Was he looking that up? Was that what he was doing? He was online, did you
I
think?
Don't know.
I doubt it. That's
it did come
bad.
Out of nowhere.
I don't know. Either way, it's all right with us.
He's certainly not as loud a typist as you are, Bean, because we couldn't tell.
Yeah.
Jen and La Mirada, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
This fictional character is an evil Chinese genius in a series of books, TV shows, and movies, but his greatest fame comes as the namesake of a famous style of long, drooping mustache.
Fu Manchu.
Sweet.
Nicely done.
Nice.
Well done.
Sweet.
Well done.
Awesome.
Beautiful.
Sweet.
And Katie in Monrovia. Good morning.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hello.
Katie, this is a major line of sportswear by a company of the same name.
Boo Boo.
Yes!
Jesus
wow!
Christ!
I didn't even get to mention the blacks love it.
All right. Congratulations. You're in the drawing. How about that?
Wow. Are we done?
Impressive.
I think we're pretty much out of time yet because we got LaQuisha next.
Okay.
Lisa May's doing the drawing.
And the winner is Jen in La Mirada.
Jen!
Or Jan.
Jan!
Jen.
Who is it?
Jen.
Jen.
La Mirada. Look for La Mirada.
Jen for La Mirada.
Congratulations, Jen.
Thank you so much. Very cool.
Got tickets for the K-Rock LA Invasion.
I'm so excited. That's great.
Greatest game ever. Name that foo.
It works.
Can you name that foo? There's a television show that I regret that neither of us saw last night because it looks like it's right up our alley. But fortunately, LaQuisha is on the line, and she watched the brand new Celebrity Rap Superstar. LaQuisha, what channel had this golden nugget last night?
MTV.
Oh, MTV. Okay. And what's the premise of the show? I don't know too much about this one except that it sounds awesome.
So you two didn't watch it because it's black.
No,
because
no,
of black
no.
people on it. That's
no.
why you didn't watch
no,
it.
I,
no,
I wanted to.
No, I understand.
I was actually out. I actually had plans outside of the home last night, LaQuisha, which just
oh,
broke my heart.
Oh, don't lie to me.
It really did.
You can make up something better, more believable than that. Oh, I wasn't home. Oh, please.
So these are people who aren't musicians. They're not rappers, yet they have to rap in competition, right?
Look, this is not a new format for a reality show. Because sometimes they'll take, like, people who can't sing and whatnot and make them perform.
Right.
So they took some celebrities who are not rappers.
Right.
And they put them in a rapping competition.
That sounds fantastic.
So you got, like, Perez Hilton, who has that celebrity website.
Sure.
Yep.
He's on there.
Mm-hmm.
And Sebastian Bach, the lead singer of Winger.
Skid Row.
Skid Row.
Right.
He's on there. Playboy model Kendra Wilkinson. Kendra's Ooh. One of the girlfriends for Hefner on that show, oh. The Girls Next Door.
Right.
Fantastic.
Jason Waller from Laguna Beach in the Hills.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Shaw Jackson, known for spreading her legs for Kevin Federline. Countess Vaughn, the actress. Efren Ramirez. He played Pedro in Napoleon Dynamite.
Vote for Pedro.
Vote for Pedro. And Jamal Anderson from the NFL.
Okay.
So these are the people who are competing for six figures worth of money and fame and mad money and mad respect as they become MCs, yo.
Okay.
Now, I was surprised that everyone I thought was going to suck didn't, and the people I thought would be good weren't. So there was a lot of surprises in it. They got judges judging these people, too.
Uh-huh.
They got DMC.
Okay.
From Run DMC. Got the Brat. And they got Big Boy.
Okay.
I don't know what he does, but apparently he's got a radio program or something.
Oh, that Big Boy, not the Outcast Big Boy. Okay. Gotcha.
And then they have some rappers trying to help these people along, like Redman, Warren G, Too Short, Bubba Sparks, Tone Loc, Bizarre, and MC Light.
Okay.
So now that you know the premise, first and foremost out comes Perez Hilton. He was the one who had to rap first. And you got to figure, this guy's going to be awful big, fat,
yes.
white, dyed hair, gay, mustachio-having loser. But I was surprised.
I like the way you do that right there, lick your lips when you're talking, that make me stir. I like the way you do that right there, when you're hips when you're walking, it's on your hair, on your hair. I like the way you look in my paint, I'm such a fine.
Who would expect that?
Wait a
not
minute.
At all. That's, not at all.
It's not bad.
That's not bad at all.
That's Perez Hilton being not bad.
Wow. Shocking.
And DMC, he was surprised too.
DMC, tell me what you think.
Yo, you had a lot of energy, but you kind of reminded me of my math teacher trying to kick lyrics.
Yeah, there was that. He did look like he's about 57 years old. I don't know what he done to himself. He's got like a bad porn mustache and big old fat ass up on the stage, but he sounded pretty good.
That wasn't too bad.
Not bad at all. I wish I could say the same thing for Kendra, the playmate.
Uh-oh.
She didn't fare nearly as well.
Yo, can't let me paint y'all a picture. Fox pin pod just quiet like a whisper. Don't get mixed up. Bad little sister, not bad mean bad, but bad meaning good. Damn, I'm so hurt.
Yeah.
You guys, she sounds
not
like
really.
Me.
Yeah, she
trying
does.
Trying to be black.
Yes.
Yeah, it's like a moment with Kendra.
Wow.
Yes.
That's not good.
Yeah, DMC didn't care for that too much.
You look good, but you ain't hood. You should be a dancer or eye candy or a video girl.
Oh, okay. Keep it real. I heard that.
It's just keeping it real. That's all. She did look good, though. She a cute little thing.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But she's no rapper, that's for sure.
No.
Jason Waller of the Hills. Now, he's got some street cred. That boy got some soul.
Sure.
Here's him doing riding. You ready?
Oh, yeah.
Gets you riding dirty. Gets you riding dirty. Gets you riding dirty. Bam, do, ding, ding, ding. Don't think, ding, ding. I'm saying, you don't do it. We gotta be going. Do it. Got it down. I'm doing it. We gotta go. We gotta blow. Gotta do the show. Gotta make this place blow up in hell and go. You know, say, whoa, yeah. We got it down. We gotta blow up. We gotta win. We gotta do this stuff and be in there. You know what I'm saying? Woo!
Dude, that is psycho Mike level skillet rapping. My God.
Have judges ever shot a contestant before?
They all wanted to do it this time.
Yeah.
DMZ, you know, this is a competition. DMZ just kind of cut to the chase.
DMZ, tell me what you think, man.
You lose. Because you got the wax streak blues. You lose.
Yeah.
You lose.
And the Brat also had something to add to Jason Waller's performance.
The Brat, what do you think?
No wonder Lauren dumped your ass.
Yeah, now we know why. Then Shaw Jackson come out on stage, and I'll tell you something, the girlfriend's looking good.
Really?
She dropped a ton of weight. Y'all looking all busty and...
Now, this is the chick that K-Fed left 9 months pregnant, right?
Right. This is the actress that K-Fed had 2 children with.
All right.
Before he dumped her ass for Britney Spears. And she came out, and girlfriend, she got some mad skills.
Sarjay coming through in the module bar. Doing the big like I live in the module bar. That's real when the chicks they talk about.
She had all right.
Yeah, she sound good.
Nothing will be funnier than K-Fed's ex-wife making a rap career before him.
I think the Brat had the same idea.
The Brat, come on, real fast, tell me what you think, man.
Yeah! Yo, I know your kids is at home, like, at least my mama know how to rap.
Oh, no, she did it. Now, how do you think Sebastian Bach would be? Hard rocking, hair band singing guy up on stage trying to do some rapping.
I don't.
Terrible.
No.
I would think. Terrible.
I would think so, too. And he does have his own style, but I think he kind of pulled it off.
Don't you dare stare. You better move. Don't have a club there. Need to the rest and I'll get you all sliced and diced. Competition's paying the price. I'm gonna knock you out. Mama said knock you out. I'm gonna knock you out.
Kind of like Twisted Sister rapping.
Sort of, yeah. But well, after you hear Kendra and Jason from the Hills, that's not bad.
Well, just hold on to your ass then. Because you ain't heard Efren Ramirez yet.
That's Pedro.
Is that Pedro?
Pedro from Napoleon Dynamite.
All right.
I knew, well, I did not know that the boy was retarded.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Right.
Until I heard him rap. And I feel bad making fun of him because he obviously had some brain trauma.
Oh.
Come give me a hug if you feel it run rough. When I pull up on funny, see the Benz on the. If I'm all 20 deep, it's always jumping in the club. When I roll with Drake, everybody show me love. When I turn Eminem, you better never love. Turns up, tease up.
Oh.
If I'm not saying move, then I'm here or pit. I don't know the suit, I don't listen to the hit. If none in LA, is that 50 is hot. And I like me, and I love me, but I'm saying I'm pot. But holla in New York, instead of tell me I'm local. But holla in New York,
okay.
I'm
doing
it so cold.
All right.
You can find me in the club.
Yeah.
Wow.
You can find him in the short bus.
Wow, I didn't know
it.
Literally retarded.
Do they write these themselves?
Like Corky from... From Life Goes On singing rap. That's
no, he
what it
was
sounded like.
They're singing the original song. Oh, that's the 50
Cent. That was him doing 50 Cent. But he sounds like he's.
In the club, yeah.
Wow.
He sounds like he's wet and sticky, is what he sounds like. Jeez.
He's riding wet and sticky. Yeah, they wanted to shoot him 9 times, I think, like fitting. That's what they
exactly,
wanted to do.
Yeah.
The judges when it was all over.
Don't blame them.
Yeah, nobody going to be voting for Pedro, I think, in this round. That's
no.
for sure. But what's going to happen is the rappers, they pick 3 contestants that they want to see next week that are safe from elimination.
Okay.
So I know Perez Hilton made it, and Sebastian Bach made it, and I think Shaw Jackson. I can't quite remember. But
right.
The rest of them, you got to call in and vote on MTV's phone lines, and then next week we find out who is going to be eliminated. And it happens like that week by week until somebody ends up.
So this is Thursday nights on MTV.
Thursday nights, MTV.
Oh.
Do not miss it. That's all. They got to keep Efren Ramirez in there.
Yes, they do.
He got to be coming back.
He needs to go all the way to the finals.
Thank
you, LaQuisha.
Bye-bye.
We
I'm sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
I've got the Vandals of Idaho plus 45 in the big game tomorrow against USC. I don't know how that's going to go, you can be there in person at the L.A. Coliseum if you want to go. Well, you're on the line right now. Don't bother calling. 1-800-520-1067. You get a pair of tickets for USC's football season opener. And you can tailgate party with us in the parking lot. Limited edition Kevin Amin sanctioned What a New K-Rock bottle opener, which cracks me up every time I see those words together.
Have you had a stroke?
Are you drunk, Kevin? No, but I just can't believe we're giving away a bottle opener. It just makes me crack
on that. It's cool.
That's what it was. I was looking ahead at the copy, and I thought I'm going to have to keep it together while I discuss the bottle opener that we're giving away.
I'm standing by the bottle
now,
opener.
You're already on the phone. And it'll be tailgating in your parking lot?
Mike in East Los Angeles.
With a bottle opener?
Good morning.
Hello.
Hi, what's up? What?
What's going on?
Word up, cameo.
What'd it do, Mike?
What'd it do, baby boo?
And then Mike, says...
Oh, hey, USC is the bomb team around. You know that, right?
Right,
They're going to beat Idaho like nothing. So don't even worry about those 45 points.
But 46 points, I mean, let's face it, when you get, you're leading a team by 30, doesn't seem like there's any urgency.
It'll be over by halftime. So you could, just put the babies to sleep and don't even worry about it.
All right, I'm putting my money with you, Mike, and if I lose, I'm coming to take it right out of your ass.
Hey, don't worry. You can, put on the rubber gloves and everything.
Yeah, right. I'm here for my money.
All right, thank you. All right, let's go to Angela in Whittier. Good morning, Angela. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, what to do?
What to do?
All
right, I went to a new Cirque du Soleil performance last night called Couture.
Right.
Yeah.
And when I saw this, I immediately thought of you guys.
Yes.
The best part of the show was a midget about 2.5 feet tall floating over the audience with giant balloons, and you could push her along with your hands.
They send her right into the audience, and everybody gets to, she lands wherever, and you push her back
like
up.
Like a beach ball at Dodger Stadium?
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's awesome. I immediately thought of you guys, and she's like French, so every time you push her along, she goes, as you're pushing her along. It was so funny.
Dave, the King of Mexico, is going to jump up and grab that midget and pop it.
Yep.
Yep. He does not like that.
He cannot go near.
He does not like that kind of action. All right. Let's go to Tracy in Woodland Hills. Good morning, Tracy.
Hey, what'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do?
All right. Well, basically, I was reading some London newspaper yesterday.
Yes.
And the big article was that an elephant in China just got released out of rehab for being addicted to heroin.
Elephant?
Where was it getting heroin?
Well, basically his handlers were putting heroin in his bananas so that he would be easier to control and easier to handle.
Oh.
But it backfired on them because the elephant was going through withdrawals and had to be put through detox and was breaking all kinds of stuff. But he's finally out of rehab.
Is this Pete Doherty's elephant?
Because Pete Doherty's cat was hooked on coke. I didn't know that they had animal rehabs.
I didn't either. Heroin. I was completely unaware.
Okay, well, I guess the elephant went through, the methadone and the whole deal, and it took a year or something to come out of rehab, but he's finally been released. They finally say he's healthy and clean, and he's touring with Amy Winehouse now, so everything's fine. Wow. Let's go to Craig in San Dimas. Good morning, Craig. What'd it do?
What'd it do, nephew and baby boo?
Hi, Craig.
What's going on?
Hey, I was in Vegas Tuesday out for the apparel show Magic, and I was at a bar down in the Mirage, and they were taking all these pictures of this one cat, and turns out it was it's Travis Barker.
Yeah.
I've heard a lot of negative things about him, but he was pretty nice, He was taking pictures like he was on display,
There's a lot of negative stuff that came out of that divorce, I think, with them talking smack about each other and stuff. I've met him a bunch of times. He's a great guy.
They're back together, too.
Are they now?
Yeah.
It's hard to keep track. You just
flip
a coin on any given day.
That's what the word is,
yeah.
Yeah. He wasn't with any women. He was just with his posse, about 9-10 guys.
He's super cool. He smokes a lot of pot. That's why.
Yeah, very laid back.
He's pretty mellow. Yeah, that's been our experience anyway.
Thank you.
Hey, let's talk to Oscar in Northridge. I'm no expert on this topic, but maybe Lisa can help out our man Oscar. Good morning. What'd it do, nephew?
What'd it do, party people?
Hey,
what's
Oscar?
Going on?
Rob Harmon, how are you?
Good, sir. And you?
I have a problem. This is maybe Lisa can help me. I visit my girlfriend once a month, and she only wants to have sex when she's ovulating. What should I do?
You
is that because she's trying to have a baby? Is that why?
No, she's just a freak. She's freak nasty.
Well, I think there are hormonal changes around that time, and it makes sense biologically that women would have stronger sex urges when they're ovulating.
Is she in jail, or why do you visit her once a month?
Yeah.
Oh, I live in Alabama, so I come down to Northridge once a month or so.
Oh, I see.
Once
well, you need to time it better.
Yeah, don't time it at that time of the month.
Do time it.
Okay.
Yeah.
But she only wants to have sex when she's ovulating because that's the only time she's turned on, or does it turn her on the possibility that she may get pregnant? Is that exciting for her?
One of the two. Oh, she better not get pregnant or kick her ass.
Yeah.
You can control that with condoms.
There's no way to control that. You just never know, man. Sometimes you can just all of a sudden.
Russian roulette.
Vince in Los Angeles. Good morning.
Hey, what it do, Wiggas?
What it do?
Hey, Vince.
Hey, I don't know if Dave, the King of Mexico, has ever shared this with you guys, but he used to wrestle in high school, and I got some pretty good pictures of him in his wrestling singlet.
What?
Really?
Yay!
King of Mexico in a wrestling singlet.
From high school.
That's right.
What do you want for him?
We're in.
I want
those USC pictures and those USC tickets, and okay. I want to party with you guys on Saturday, and I want to continue the party all
day. Okay, easy, Vince, easy.
Holy crap. Party, man.
When did you wrestle, dude?
Yeah, I wrestled as a freshman in high school.
You were heavyweight then?
Skinny or fat?
High school.
Skinny.
He was
skinny.
Pretty skinny.
Okay.
Dude,
what happened?
We
need the singlet. We need the
These
photo.
Pictures, you know my Hawaii picture?
Yes.
Yeah, you with the sea turtle or whatever?
30 times better.
Fantastic.
I threw away all these pictures.
Fantastic.
I don't know why he has them,
well,
but...
Put them up on the K-Rock website.
Dave, we were on the team together, dude.
Yeah.
He wrestled with you.
Okay. Well, all right.
Yoo-hoo! Yeah. Life in the team!
So, Vince, does Dave... Let me ask you this. Now that Dave's a big radio superstar, does he forget the little people? Does he pretend he doesn't know you when he runs into you on the street now?
You know, I don't run into him all that often. I emailed him once, and I asked him, is this the same Dave? And he never replied.
Yeah, of course not.
That's Dave.
You know,
so he doesn't converse with the little people. All right, thank you, Vince. Please send those over. We need those.
Crap.
Definitely.
Sweet.
Yeah, send them to me. Yeah, I'll put them right up.
Right to Kevin at KROQ.com.
All right, we need to wrap it up for today. Bean, you want to thank people? Or
for a career.
For a career.
So long.
Because I want to play the songs here. We need to recap the songs.
Okay, you want me to do this first, then you do the songs?
Sure.
Okay.
That first.
I want to thank all of our special guests on today's Kevin and Bean Show. We had a lot of them. Thanks to actor Seth Green for stopping by. You know, that robot chicken is so funny. It's into season 3 on the Adult Swim right now. Season 2 is out on DVD. It's uncensored, and it sounds very, very funny. That's this Tuesday, September 4th. Thanks to actress Mary McCormick for being in. It's an indie movie called Right at Your Door that we think you'll enjoy very much. Pete Carroll, the head coach of USC. That game is tomorrow at 7:15 at the Coliseum. And thanks to Rob Zombie. His reimagining of Halloween is in theaters everywhere today. So congratulations, and go see that. You know, it is the Halloween season, so why not?
Yesterday, we were a little down because we got in trouble for offending people. And we got a lot of phone calls from people saying we don't offend enough people. That's a bigger complaint of
our
audience.
That's the problem.
So, Lean, we can't say the name of that one. We can't play that one. But we do have some other ones that we played today. We did A Press Like a Honky.
Oh, press like a honky.
Make them work. Grab a slave and make him work.
Oh, press like a honky.
Make them work. Grab a slave and make him work.
I think you can kind of get the idea for that one.
Okay.
Then we had Breed Like a Latino.
Breed like a Latino.
Fertilize. Grab those eggs. Fertilize.
Breed like a Latino.
Fertilize. Grab those eggs and fertilize.
I breed like a Latino.
It was eye-opening for us, I think, that we got in all this trouble because of one listener complained about one thing that he heard on the show, and management just freaked out about that. And then when we went to our email yesterday after having a brief discussion about it on the air, we found out that the problem is the opposite. It's not that people are being offended too much. It's that they're not being offended enough. And really, a lot of emails today, hey, why aren't you picking on Cubans? Why aren't you guys making fun of pygmies? I mean, apparently we're not doing enough to offend. And that's what the purpose of these songs was today.
I drive like an Asian.
Slanted eyes. Eating dog with slanted eyes.
I think you get the idea of that one. Okay.
Okay.
And then we did this one.
I feel like a Negro.
Grab the cash. Punch the clerk. Grab the cash.
You kind of get the idea there.
Who can be offended by that?
Then we did Save Like a Hebrew.
I save like a Hebrew.
Run and hide. Grab that nickel. Run and hide.
I save like a Hebrew.
Run and hide. Grab a nickel. Run and hide.
I save like a Hebrew.
So you get the idea
there. Most requested song from our listeners down on Fairfax Avenue right now.
Tuesday morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. I'll give you this before we play the last one. Clive Owen, Bill Cowher, former Pittsburgh Steelers coach in the studio.
Damn.
And we're going to talk to Bean's wife about his mustache, and that's going to go very poorly. And the final song that we have for today before we do Don Bogart.
I'm conkling a deaf guy.
Take a turn. Grab your hand and make a sign.
I'm conkling a deaf guy.
Take a turn. Grab your hand and make a sign.
I'm conkling a deaf guy.
Make a sign.
Conkling deaf and grand and sign.
I'm conkling a deaf
guy. Who's going to complain about that? They can't even hear it, for God's sakes. Come on.
Talk like a deaf guy. See?
I'm not going to copy that.
Don't bogart the joint, my friend. Pass it over to me. Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
I don't still sound like a pothead, do I?
Roll another one.
Oh yeah, drugs. You gotta have drugs.
Just like the other one.
Marijuana is delicious.
It seems to be about to quit. Another
Kat Corbett coming up next. She's got 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Tarantula is new from Smashing Pumpkins. We got Weezer, Rise Against, Nirvana, New Beck, Linkin Park, and more on the way from KRQ FM, Pasadena, Los Angeles.
Roll.
Stop that. That's just ridiculous. Cut that. Enough of that. Boo. Get out. Get out. Get out of the DJ booth. That's enough.
This is an utter failure. We need to end it and let these boys go home.
Hey, guys. Nice job by you. Better job by me. Out.
Bye, diddly eye. So long.
God bless you.
Bye. Take care.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Ta-ta.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Sayonara, dude.
So long.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Bye.
So if you're confused about what I'm saying, listen very carefully. I quit this bitch.